Blog Talk Radio.
You're now tuned in to Culture Freedom Radio, the home of good music and conscious talk radio. Culture Freedom Radio is most definitely in the house.
Yes, shalom, 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 my brothers and sisters. Welcome in one more time right here to Lions Vibe Radio and Liberation Tabernacle of Yah, brought to you by Culture Freedom Radio and Network. We're most definitely up in his house again. Yes, sir. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. Yes, sir. Where's all? It ain't just quite yet Shabbat, and well, where I'm at right here, because it's still a little daylight. We're almost there, but I still say Shabbat shalom. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in right here to Culture Freedom Radio Network. We're most definitely in this house right here today again. This is, y'all, this is April the 12th, May of 2000. I finna say 19, y'all. I'm finna go back into 19, y'all. We don't want to go back, do we? We don't want to go back, do we? No, no, no. But this is 2024. Yes, sir. Indeed, it is. Man, what a pleasure to be in this house again with y'all, man. What another topic of conversation tonight. We got right here on Culture Freedom Radio. Oh, let me say this. I'll give y'all the Hebrew. Let's see, for the Hebrew calendar, give y'all the proper date. Today is the 4th of what they call Nisan. Yes, sir, the 4th of Nisan. And Nisan, y'all, that'll be the month. Like I said, April, but it's Nisan on the Hebrew calendar. Actually, the day 4 and of year 5784. So, yes, that's the 4th of Nisan. Year 5784. Yes, sir. Let's get that in there. Yes, sir. Indeed. So tonight we want to talk about something right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network. Yes, indeed. We want to talk about tonight, what is the Messiah? And was Jesus really one? Yes, sir. And so y'all have to understand, because when I say the word Messiah, and that's why I had to say, was Jesus really one? So we have to get an understanding of that word first and foremost, that word called Messiah. Oh, yes, sir. Y'all ready for this show tonight? Y'all think y'all ready? Y'all think y'all can handle this show tonight? Yes, indeed. We got to talk about it tonight. Yes, sir. What is the Messiah? What is this thing called a Messiah? And was Jesus, a.k.a. Yeshua, some say Yahweh, whatever title they may try to call him, was he really one? Yes, sir, indeed. You know, I got something, a clip and things we want to try to play tonight to go in some things right here tonight. Because there's something they're talking about, listen to some clips, there were several clips, because there are some things that's out there that's being stated that, and it's coming from a lot of Christians, and this whole thing again, and we already got to throw in here as well, this Antichrist thing, this Antichrist or Antichristos, yes, sir, Antichristos thing, but there's something they're talking about that's happening called the red heifer. Any of y'all familiar with the red heifer? Y'all in, any of y'all familiar with that? Yes, sir. So there's so-called people saying there's a prophecy and things of this nature that this red heifer and, you know, the temple, the third temple is about to be rebuilt and things of this nature. And so, yeah, we want to get into some things tonight and right here on Culture Freedom. And they're saying that the Antichrist is about to come. So that's why we want to get into this tonight, y'all, talking about. Man, that's why we want to get into this, talking about who is the Messiah and was Jesus really one. So to know that, we got to break down these words, because, you know, this whole Antichrist, because you got to know what a Messiah is and the definition to even understand what an Antichrist is. So you have to have that meaning of the Messiah in Hebrew and what the actual you know, Jews actually believed in order to believe in so-called a Antios. Yeah, not saying Antios or Antichristios, my bad, not Antios, but Antichristios. Yeah, sound like the Catholic priest, right? Antichristos. Yes, sir. And that's what it is. And Christos is what they call Christ. But tonight, that's what we want to get into, brothers and sisters. Yo, we don't get into this and dive into this show. We got to break down some things tonight. And yes, sir. So, you know, they're talking about sacrificing. They're trying to bring back the temple to sacrifice. We want to give you all a clear understanding of this tonight, you know, for people who's talking about sacrificing. They're talking about this Antichrist. They're talking about this red heifer. And we're going to get into that. I don't know how many of y'all know about the red heifer that's mentioned in the book of Numbers. And what they, you know, we're going to get into all of this tonight. So, yeah, we want to just throw this out. It's been a good show. Get your pencil and paper, your notepads, and all of this day. Y'all get ready, man, because I think this is going to be a good one. So, you know, a lot of people, I see a lot of videos as I'm just looking for red heifer on the internet. I see a lot of videos and things just talking about this right here. So this is what we're going to dive in tonight. Let me see here. I want to see what I want to do. I want to play a clip on something right fast before I let the, so y'all get y'all understanding a little bit before we even got into it. But I'm trying to find the right one. Trying to just find the right one, not something too long. Let me see what I do this day, and I'm going to let y'all come on in here. We're going to give an understanding to the people what's going on. Let me see what this one is right here.
Will come, and there'll be peace on earth. Everybody is going to be happy, and you will be able to. But in a very short time, the whole world will see what is going to happen is that the Messiah will come, and there'll be peace on earth. Everybody is going to be happy, and you will be able to see and witness godliness on earth. And we're in the last moments right now. That's why the whole world is freaking out.
All right, just 1 second. They're trying to get into this. Yeah. You said the Messiah's coming, y'all, but Messiah.
Family ABS here, and today I have a major prophetic update regarding end times, the third temple, and some information that hasn't been widely reported on. I wonder why. We're going to dive into that information right now. But first of all, I want to show you the perspective of a Jew, not a messianic Jew, a Jew who actually wants the third temple to be rebuilt so that you can understand from their perspective why they want to do this. And then we're going to take a look at some more information and Bible prophecy. So this man here, he calls himself the Torah Channel. He is a Jew. And although he is not in the body of Christ, we still show love and respect to everybody. So please, family, do not turn this into something negative. We're going to understand his perspective of why he wants the third temple rebuilt. Then we'll look at what the Bible says about the same thing. Let's go.
Shalom aleichem, everybody. Hope all is well. We have to know that the third temple will be built in the Holy Land of Israel extremely, extremely soon. And this is such an interesting idea because for some reason it's controversial. The world gets very excited when the Jewish people speak about this idea. Now, the third temple will be built speedily in its days. This is something we say every day before prayer. We say, and at the end of our prayer, Yeratzon mefunecha Hashem lakeinu v'lakeinu v'seinu sh'yibane beis hamikdash b'mehera b'yaminu v'senchakeinu v'seresecha. We say, Hashem, may it be your will that you build the temple speedily in our days and you give us our place in your Torah. What does this mean? This means that we want to see the revelation around this world. Just like we're in the final generation. We want to see our place in the Torah. The Torah, the main event has yet to happen yet. All the beautiful stories we read about in the Torah and the Bible, they're amazing. But we shouldn't be looking back like, ah, the good old days. No, the best is yet to come. We're in the final generation. The third and everlasting temple will be built in our days, and that will be the height of the Bible, of the Torah. We're in the new chapter of reality. This is what's been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Obviously, the Torah never changes, but the promised prophecy in the Torah has yet to happen yet. It's happening in our time. So we're actually in the most exciting point of history. We shouldn't look back the good old days. No, we say, give us our place in your Torah. We want to see the prophecy happen. We want to see we want to be the subject of your Torah. This is what we have to note. We have to know that the land belongs to the Jewish people, but we need the Messiah to come to build the temple. Obviously, part of it will be built in heaven. Part of it will be built down here on earth. But we just want to see the third temple, which will facilitate the revelation of God throughout the world. Again, it's not just a building, but rather it's a place which unifies and causes a fusion of heaven and earth and causes a flow of divinity into the world.
Now, I have a lot more information to show you that is extremely mind-blowing, some incredible footage and some confessions that will blow your mind genuinely if you haven't come across it already. But before we get to that, now you know the perspective of the Jewish people about why they want to build the third temple. We know, as born-again believers, those filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, that the kingdom of God is within us, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 6:19 it states, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Also, know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" You see, family, we are the temple of God. "And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Hallelujah. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple.
All right, that's enough. That's enough. Because they're not going to what I wanted. I find I got one later I get into. But let me get the brothers in here. Let me get them in here. Because I got one later we're going to get into. And yeah, we're going to get into, because we need to give this whole definition. Because like, that's what Christians talk about. Because they have these, what they're calling right now, they have in the land of Israel, they have what they're calling a red heifer. Actually, it's a brown cow, y'all. Y'all know what that is. But they say, y'all, how now, brown cow? Yeah, that's actually what actually it is. They have been shipped in there. Some brown Angus cows have been shipped to the land of Israel. And everybody's, man, coming up with these different prophecies and things of this nature, talking about, especially the Christians, talking about the Antichrist is about to come. Because the Jews talking about, they're saying that in the land of Israel, the Israelis, wanting to build a third temple again, right? And so these Christians are saying, and they got these red heifers, and they're going to sacrifice them and rebuild the temple. And they're saying by the Jews doing that, that's going to usher in the Antichrist. I tell y'all the truth. But Shabbat Shalom, Brother Dave. Shabbat Shalom. What's going on, brother? We're going to get into this tonight. We're going to break this thing down. You know, what is the Messiah? Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shema Israel, or Denai Lahenu, or Denai Akad, or Baruch Atah, Denai Lahenu, Malakah Ha'alom, or Motsi Lakam Min Aras. I'd like to say, in the name of Liberation Tabernacle, Yah, I, Morey, David Israel, Chief Rabbi, greet you all with Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Now, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to use the King James Version tonight. Let me get out my King James Bible. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Let me get out my King James Bible. And let me go into this.
You ain't saying that right. Shalagi, that you ain't saying that right, man. You know how you usually say it. What is it, Dave?
King James Version.
The King James Version. Yes, sir.
All right. King James Version. All right, so let me go on here and get this out. Okay, I'm going to definition of a Messiah.
Yes, sir.
It says Messiah is, in Judaism, the expected king of the Davidic line who would deliver Israel from foreign bondage and restore the glories of his golden age. Now, that's in what you call, the definition of Messiah or anointing. Now, I'm going to go into something. They talk about the Messiah coming back. Now, y'all know at Liberation Tabernacle, yeah, the tabernacle where we study, where we teach at, we don't believe and no damn Jesus coming back. We don't believe in that. So when you hear Messiah means anointed one, right? Now, when we get into anointed people who are anointed, we get into that word anointed. let me go into this, because I use the biblical concordance for a lot of things, too, because they're talking about this Messiah coming back, and they just don't know. So when we look at the word anointed, anointed in Hebrew comes from the word mashayah, a primitive definition, a primitive root, to rub with oil, that is to anoint by implication, to consecrate, also to paint. Now, if Jesus, who they call anointed, right, if he was anointed, right, now, we go to this scripture, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, which I quoted. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Now, they put Jesus as this person that's supposed to be coming back, right? And when you're looking at Jesus, and I talk about this all the time, when you're looking at an anointed person, right? Now, Jesus is nowhere in the Tanakh. When we're looking at anointed, you have plenty of people who was anointed. Samuel was anointed. Habakkuk was anointed. Moses was anointed. When you equal somebody to coming back, they all had a certain place and time where they helped out as far as ministry in day and age. So when we're looking at Jesus, right, and we're looking at somebody like Jesus who is anointed, supposed to be anointed, we go to a person like him. Your Messiah died. When you're looking at, if you're saying somebody like Jesus was the power, and he's coming back to save, and he was anointed, then Moses should come back too, because Moses was anointed. Samuel was anointed. Hell, Enoch was anointed. So where do you get that Jesus, the only person going to come back? When we're looking at the New Testament, right, and we're looking at the New Testament, and we're looking at the Revelations, right, and we're looking at the Bible overview, and we're looking at sin offerings. And, you know, the only time where we really do offer up anything for offerings for sin as Jews is Yom Kippur. That's the Day of Atonement, right? Now, we get into Yom Kippur, and I'm going to get into the breakdown of it. And I'm going to get into the breakdown of it. And that's going to be in this Torah. I'm going to get this scripture out. I'm going to get this scripture out, too. We're getting it to, let's see, Leviticus, the fourth chapter. Let's go to Leviticus, the fourth chapter, the first and all the way to the 35th verse. Because, like I said, a lot of this stuff, when we're looking at it, and we're looking at offering a sin, this guy's talking about the Jewish people are going to have, you know, they will be sacrificing brown heifers or red heifers. Let's see. What does it say about sin offering? Leviticus, the 4th chapter. Let me go to that scripture, because Leviticus, the 4th chapter, the first verse, it says, Hashem spoke to, it says, Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, when a person will sin unintentionally from among all the commandments of Yah, that may not be done, and he commits one of them, if the anointed Kohen will sin, bringing guilt upon the people for his sin that he hath committed, he shall offer a young bull unblemished to Hashem as a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of meeting before Hashem. He shall lean his hands upon the head of the bull, and he shall slaughter the bull before Hashem. So I ain't gonna get in the whole that whole part, but I'm gonna go skip down to the 13th verse. It says, if the entire assembly of Israel shall err in a matter became obscure from the eye of the congregation, if they commit one from another among all the commandments of Hashem that may be, not be done, and they become guilty, when the sin regard which they committed becomes known, the congregation shall offer a young bull as a sin offering, and they shall bring it before the tent of the meeting. So you're looking at sin offerings. Now, you go down to the 22nd verse of Leviticus, the 4th chapter. It goes into the he-goat being offered, being slaughtered, and pretty much as being something you can sacrifice to atone from your sin. Now, we go down to sin offering of an individual. It says, down 27th verse, if an individual person from among the people of the land shall sin unintentionally by committing one of the commandments of Hashem that may be done, and he becomes guilty, if his sin that he committed becomes known to him, he shall bring as his offering a she-goat unblemished for the sin that he committed. He shall lean his hands upon the head of the sin offering, and he shall slaughter the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. Now, as we all see this, you ain't going to see nobody doing this today. This is all back in the day stuff. So you hear this guy, right, and I heard the video. He's talking about how Israel going to be slaughtering all these goats, you know, because they have a lot of sin and the Messiah coming back and all this. Now, if the Messiah, as y'all say, live in y'all lives all day and every day, you mean to tell me he's coming back? If he's coming back, where the hell was he at before in your life? So that means that nigga left. So y'all had the Jesus or your Messiah wasn't there. You know, now that means you should have been following days and practicing Yom Kippur every year like we do. So when we're looking at the he-goat, the heifer, and the bull, this was a time where that's what they did. They got rid of goats. They got rid of heifers. They got rid of all these animals if they did something wrong. Matter of fact, the thing that we blow the shofar is some of those are made from rams, and some of those are made from goat horns. So when we get into prices of goats and chickens and all that, all these animals, you know, and he brought it up. Y'all eat these things. You see, they have an issue with the Jewish community sacrificing heifers and all that for, you know, Day of Atonement, for their holidays or for the wrong that they have done. But I guarantee if somebody bought y'all a heifer hamburger, y'all ain't going to turn it down. I guarantee y'all ain't going to turn that down. So, you know, y'all drink milk. Y'all drink milk. Y'all eat hamburgers. Y'all eat hot dogs. You know, they ain't got a problem. They don't have no issue with Boar's Head. They don't have no issue with Purdue. They don't have no issue with none of these meat packing companies. But soon some people say, okay, we're going to sacrifice a couple of calves, a couple of bulls for to get rid of our sins. You know, all of a sudden it becomes a problem. Now, they'll talk about Jesus coming back and all this stuff. You know, now, Jesus is dead. There ain't no, when we're looking at a man coming back and we're looking at a dead man coming back, right? I'm going to go into this book, the Book of Numbers, because, you know, we hear all this with Jesus coming back and, you know, and all they keep saying is he's going to come back. I got this scripture, Numbers, the 19th chapter, the 13th verse, because they keep talking about this man coming back. Now, Jesus died. He got killed. Can't no dead man come back. Let's go to Numbers, the 19th chapter, the 13th verse. This is Numbers, the 19th chapter, the 13th verse. It says, so Jesus got killed on the cross. He was nailed on that two pieces of wood. And they say this man coming back, knowing he got killed and he's already in the grave. Go to Numbers, the 19th chapter. And I'm going to get into this, too, because it's going to go into the red cow, too. Numbers, the 19th chapter. Let's go to the first verse, and now I'm going to skip down to the 13th verse. It says, Hashem spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, this is the decree of the Torah, which Hashem have commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and they shall take to you a completely red cow. Now, this is what the heifer is, which is without blemish, and upon which a yoke has not come. You shall give it to Eleazar, the Kohen. He shall take it to the outside of the camp, and someone shall slaughter it in his presence. Eleazar the Kohen shall take some of his blood with his forefinger and sprinkle some of its blood toward the front of the tent meeting, seven times. Someone shall burn the cow before his eyes, as hides in his flesh, and its blood with its dung shall he burn. The Kohen shall take cedar wood, hyssop, and crimson thread, and he shall throw them into the burning of the calf. The Kohen shall immerse his clothing, immerse himself in water, and afterwards he may enter. Pain shall remain contaminated until evening. The one who burns it shall immerse his clothing in water and immerse himself in water. And he shall remain contaminated until the evening. A pure place for the assembly of Israel, it shall remain as a safe keeping for water or sprinkling. It is for purification. The one who gathers the ash of the cow shall immerse his clothing and remain contaminated until evening. It shall be for the children of Israel and for the proselyte who dwells among them as an eternal decree. So, and I'm going to get down to it with this Jesus character, because here it goes into what happens when you mess with a dead man, because y'all conjuring up them dead spirits, and you know Jesus is dead. And I talked about the necromancers, which is somebody who goes to the dead and tries to bring somebody back. I talked about that in a couple of lectures I've done on the tabernacle. If y'all want to go back and listen to it. So, let's say it says, let's go down, Numbers 19, chapter 11, verse. Whoever touches the... it says, whoever touches the corpse of any human being shall be contaminated for 7 days. So y'all reach out to this Jesus and y'all see, you know, you hear CeCe Blinders had a song called "You Don't Know the Cost of the Oil," and she had this song about washing Jesus' feet with her tears, which she quotes from a Bible verse about, you know, Jesus washing men's feet, and that's gay as hell for another man to wash another man's feet. You know, I wouldn't want no man to wash my feet. You know, in fact that y'all pride yourself on Jesus, a grown-ass man washing another grown man's feet, something wrong with this shit. So, but anyway, so when you're looking at cleansing of sin, these people use the sacrificing of a goat and all these cows, goats, and chickens to get rid of sin. Okay? That's what they did. There wasn't no human sacrifice. Y'all say Jesus died for y'all sins and, you know, he washed all your sins. Can't no other man die for your sins. And this man is dead, so how the hell is he coming back? So it's a whoever touches the corpse of any human being shall be contaminated for 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day and on the seventh day, and then he shall become pure. If he will not purify himself on the third day and on the seventh day, he will not become pure. Whoever touches the body of a human being who will have died and will not have purified himself, he shall have contaminated the tabernacle of Hashem. That person shall be cut off from Israel. So these people go to Jesus and try to bring him back in, you know, and they try to conjure up him, but that's against Torah. By you going to Jesus and wanting Jesus to come back, that's against Torah. So right there, that's against Torah. So the Jews sacrificing goats and chickens, that's just what they did in ancient times. You know, when you do something wrong, you got to have a sin offering. A lot of y'all church people don't realize. Y'all do something wrong. The pastor say, sow a tithe, give a tithe, and all your sins shall be washed away. That's not how, giving an old fat nigga with a damn perm and a jerry curl is not going to clear your sins. That ain't going to clear nothing for you. So the sacrifice of goats and animals and bulls, that's how they got rid of their sins. It ain't by wanting another man to come back. It's by killing some of the animals. And like I said earlier, a lot of y'all, when y'all talk all this prophecy and the Antichrist, this is something I want y'all to realize. That is not getting in the Bible prophecy, and we're looking at a prophet, right? And we're looking at prophecies. I used to be into all that prophecy and the, oh yeah, they coming back and, you know, is some of the Israelite camps say, your house shall coming out, the clouds and swords and shit. You know, I used to believe in all that stuff. All that your house shot coming back and all that stuff. But years ago, me, Maury, Ari, we believed in all that messianic stuff. But this is something that you all have to realize. When you're looking at a prophecy, once a prophecy already been fulfilled, that's it for that prophecy. If I tell you, okay, tomorrow they're going to shut off people from being able to use paper money, and that happens tomorrow, they come on new TV break news, government shut down y'all from using actual paper money. Now, I decide that. Guess what? There ain't no prophecies of that no more. It happened. What I said already happened. So you can't go back and use my prophecy, which has been fulfilled, which is happening to be relived again. That's it. So when y'all say all this, oh, they're going to shut down the grids and all that, y'all getting paranoid with that stuff. And that is something that, you know, when I look at Christians have a damn hard time with seeing that stuff already happen. that stuff already, revelations already happened. Y'all talk about the mark of the beast 666. Y'all don't realize 666, when you getting into the numbers and numerology and the mark of the beast, that's called gematria. You dealing with wicked shit right there by believing and adding up numbers and stuff. That's wicked right there. You know, they're adding up numbers, numerology. See, that happened. See, 9-11. Add that up. 9-11 is a completion. These guys sound like the sinners half the time. You know, all that stuff, y'all sound like, y'all sound crazy as hell. Y'all sound crazy as hell with all these, that's in the revelations. If you look at revelations, half of revelations was written by John, and John got that out of the book of Daniel. So when we're looking at that stuff, John ain't had nothing new. That stuff already happened. So that's the issue. You're looking at numerology. Hindus get into numerology. That's why you see all these East Indians, they real good with math and stuff. Them and them Chinese, they big into that. Same thing with the five of sinners. They into all that numerology stuff. You know, all this stuff, that stuff come from fortune tellers and all that stuff. It's all in the same book. And, you know, so all that stuff that happened in Revelations, y'all coming up with all these conspiracy theories, y'all need to get out of that. Stuff ain't happening. Stuff gone, stuff dead. It's already that happened. So all this talking about the red heifers and all this stuff. And I heard the video earlier, Moray RBI, I heard them talk about how Jewish people is funding a lot of these pastors. That's why they boosting up a lot of the Israel and pro-Israel. I'm saying, you know what that's a talking point of? That's a talking point of somebody that's being funded by Palestinians. That's what it is. That's what it is. And when that white guy was talking about that one white girl that was, I guess he said she had converted to Judaism and how she was pushing the pro-Israel and all that, what you don't realize is that stuff right there that they're doing, that ain't got nothing to do with the Jesus and all that. See, they're talking about Orthodox Jews. They ain't Orthodox Jews ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. As I just read, the sin offering and all that stuff, offering up of bulls and calves, that's just Old Testament stuff that they did and we did to get rid of our sin, to cleanse our bodies, to wash us of all the wrong.
Yeah. And Dave, I got some of that clip I'm gonna play too, because I wanna play some of it for the family so they can hear some of the clip and get an understanding. Right, because somebody who don't have understanding, you know, they wouldn't. They seen them talking about this, and they saying it's going to ushering the Antichrist. They'll be confused. Because like you're saying.
Antichrist, ain't no Christ, the Antichrist in the Old Testament. See, the Jewish people ain't got nothing to do with the Illuminati and all that stuff. They talking about wrestling. Talking about the New World Order and the Antichrist. Old Testament Jews, we Antichrist any damn way. We don't believe in Jesus.
But that's why we got to break down the word Messiah. Because that when you get a clear understanding of the word, this is the English word Messiah. But the Hebrew coming from a true Judaic or a true Israelite understanding of a Messiah, and that's what people confuse that and need to have an understanding. The original meaning of, as you say in the Hebrew, we say Mashiach. What that means, like they were saying, it means the, I mean, no, it don't mean the, because you say the is would be ha, and we'll get into that later, ha Mashiach. And the Torah never says anything about a ha Mashiach. It says Mashiach, meaning anointed. But we're getting a little bit deeper into that. But this is where a lot of confusion is coming from, because of this one word and how over time this one word has taken on several different meanings, or taken on a new meaning, I should say. It evolved to meaning something totally different. Just like we could just use this word for analogy. The word gay, before the 19th century, or barely in the middle 19th century, if you told somebody, you look gay today, you didn't want to talk about they was a homosexual. You were just saying they look happy. But during the mid-19th century, that word gay, and now during the 20th century, it don't even mean happy no more. You say, somebody say, I'm gay, I came out now, I'm coming out the closet, I'm gay. It does not mean now that I'm happy. It means, hell, I'm a homosexual. So just like just to have that word Mashiach, Messiah, a.k.a. Christ, which has come from the Greek word Christos, has another whole meaning now. And this is what, and so, excuse me, people really have to understand that. And I think that's what a lot of times, as even in Israelites or even in Judaism, that has to be really, really need to be focused on and hummed in on to give people an understanding. So when you could talking about this whole, because Christianity even has a, that word Christ has a whole different meaning from the actual original meaning of the Torah, or the Tanakh, actually, we would say. It has a whole nother meaning. So this is where the confusion, a lot of confusion is coming from. Yeah, I want to just play some of this clip, right? I want to let the people hear some of this, so it'll give more clarity to where we're going tonight. I want to throw some of this in here. Let me play a little bit of this right fast. Let me
see. Oh. It's going to break the internet coming soon to the Stu Peters Network. Good evening, and welcome to a very special edition of the Stu Peters Show. Tonight is very special because it'll be debate style. We'll have a forum here, an open discussion with a Jew called Adam King, a Christian Zionist called Byron Stinson, also known as the Red Heifer Guy. It'll be moderated by King Bao. Since the start of Israel's crusade or war in Gaza, people around the world have started to learn a lot about the Jews' plans. Their plans to sacrifice and incinerate red heifers on massive altars in Jerusalem. These perfect red heifers, they're going to burn them and then worship their ashes and then build the third temple, which, as most non-Israel worshiping Christians and many Muslims believe, will usher in the Antichrist. As this war has played out, it's been widely deduced that a large part of this is an effort on Israel's behalf to consolidate control over the Holy Land. They want Jewish dominion and control, even more than there is right now, over Jerusalem and everything surrounding it. And they're not just after Muslims. No, they're waging chemical warfare on Christian clergymen in Jerusalem right now. Jewish settlers armed with dogs and assault rifles and accompanied by Zio supremacist Israeli cops are rolling into Armenian Christian communities. They're terrorizing the people there. Yeah, because they want that land. They want the land that Christians have held since at least the time of the Byzantine Empire to be under Jewish control, just like they want everything under Jewish control. It's all part of their process of wiping the area clean of Christians and Muslims, essentially an ethnic cleansing, a genocide, and then asserting complete control over the Holy Land, over the Temple Mount where a mosque currently stands. But if you ask many Jews, it won't be there for long. And if you're a Muslim, or if you're a Christian living in the Holy Land or living within or even hundreds of miles outside of the borders of the modern-day Israeli nation state, your life could be in immediate danger. And if they get their way, no matter where you live on planet Earth, your life will be in danger. Maybe it already is. But it's clear to many, including CBS News, which is not a right-wing conspiratorial QAnon blog by any means, that this quest to build the third temple, this quest to breed the perfect red heifer and sacrifice it to usher in the Antichrist and Jewish dominion over all of the earth.
Let me just stop right there. See, this is y'all, what y'all listening to is purity Christian, rhetoric, scare tactic rhetoric. This is what this is at its finest. This is what it is, because Christians who do not have a true understanding of Torah. Now, there are some things I'm going to have to say in this. I'm not taking up for some things about Israel and the and what's going on with the Palestinians. And that's not what – the concern here is why I want to get into this tonight is because when he's talking about – when he's bringing up the fact about the sacrifice and the things is with the red heifer – that has nothing to do and want to build a third temple. That don't have a doggone thing to do with talking about being world Jews, having world dominance, or by them sacrificing these red heifers, as you keep referring to. Some translation of the Bible might say red heifer, some say cow, you know, but anyway, which they actually look like, say they actually are brownish looking. But anyway, that's another whole story. He keeps on saying, as y'all keep hearing this, that it will usher, if they're sacrificing these cows, will usher in the Antichrist, which has nothing to do with Orthodox, what we say, Judaism or Israelite tradition, whichever one y'all want to use. It has a damn thing to do, don't do that, because we don't subscribe to that. That's Christianity talk. Because go back to understand the whole thing as Brother Rabbi was David Israel was breaking down earlier. Go to the book of Numbers chapter 19, and this is what you find about the red heifer. And this is the only place you find in the Tanakh that speaks about the red heifer by that word. It is talks about heifers in a couple of places, but when it's talking about the sacrifice of the red heifer, you only find that in the book of Numbers, chapter 19. Y'all got to go and read that. Read that. So this is just Christian talk, scare tactics, because and notice he's trying to promote talking about Judaism, well, Christianity and stuff like that. That the Jews are going to take over, want to take over. But. I understand that war, whatever they're doing over there, this has nothing to do with the biblical portion. And that's what our only point tonight we're defending, or not just defending, but want to teach on and give the true perspective. What they're pulling out on these videos, especially you'll see a lot of this from Christians, saying this sacrifice of the red heifer is going to usher in the Antichrist. And notice again, we need to go back into this though and make this clear. What in the world is a Messiah? Because y'all have to understand the Antichrist. You can't understand the word Christ until you understand the true definition of the Hebrew word, because this is what it's come from now, of the Hebrew meaning and definition of we say the Hebrew word Mashiach, which the English would be Messiah, right? It just means anointed. And let me play just a little bit more, and we're going to break this word down so y'all can get an understanding, because this is foolishness, or I ain't going to say foolishness. It's Christianity, like I said, scare tactic. It ain't got a damn thing to do. Ain't no damn anti-Messiah or anti, so y'all saying it's the anti-anointed. So he's saying it's going to usher in the anti-Messiah or the anti-Antichrist, so that means there has to be anointed one already here. So if you're going to bring by them sacrificing this cow, that means that, and you're saying that's going to make the Antichrist or the anti-anointed one rise up. So who is, because anti mean to go against, right? If you got anti, that means you're going against this anointed person. So who the hell is this anointed person that he's going to be going against? So he should already be here, because if he's going to rise up to go against the anointed, or as they say, the Messiah, so the Messiah has to already be here. He can't come after this person to go against him. Hell, he got to already be here, right? Isn't that not true? Let's play just a little snippet more.
It's directly tied to Israel's war effort. their steamrolling of Gaza, and their laying of the groundwork for an even larger, more widespread conquest. They're already preparing to move into Lebanon. They have been for quite some time. They struck Iran's consulate in Syria just last week. It's an act of war. They're already running an ethnic cleansing, a genocide in Gaza, in the West Bank, in the old city of Jerusalem, because, you see, they have to check all of the boxes before they sacrifice their heifers and build their temple. And with this Jewish holy war in full swing and noticing at all-time highs across the West, Jews have now just started openly bragging about the construction of this third temple, their summoning of Satan, and of their Stone Age-style slaughtering of the red heifers. It's disgusting. But in Israel, the Jews are saving up the red heifers that they got from Texas. They're raising them, they're breeding them in hopes of finding the perfect sacrifice victim. They searched the world high and low over and over before they settled on Texas Red Angus, and then they brought them to Israel where they're kept in a secured facility. Now, to meet the qualifications for the sacrifice, to be special enough, to be that perfect red heifer that the Jews mutilate and kill, the cow must be completely red. Not a single hair can be another color, even on the hoofs and eyelashes. No, pure red.
That's Numbers 19. That's what I said. Go read Numbers 19.
And now we're hearing that multiple heifers meet the qualifications and that the Jews are getting close to sacrificing their heifers. Some say it'll happen this year, including the Temple Institute. Now, that's a group that focuses on establishing the third temple and reinstating sacrificial animal worship. They already have a site picked out to sacrifice the heifers, and they're saying that they could be ready to do it as soon as this year's Passover. That's in just a few weeks from now. It's coming up really quickly. And they're pretty invested in this. They're pretty far along in the preparations because reportedly, the Temple Institute already has a young Kohen, a Hebrew word for priest, who they say is qualified to perform the heifer ceremony. In other words, whether it's this year or next year or 5 years from now, it's coming. And they're extremely happy to shove this in the faces of everyone on the face of the planet. The Jews are loving this. They're loving throwing it up in our faces that they're about to summon the Antichrist because they think that once and for all, they're going to defeat. They're going to...
Now, let me just stop there right there. That's enough of that goddamn foolishness. Excuse my language, y'all. That's enough of that foolishness. Now, I need y'all to go and read, like I said, please, in y'all's time after this, read Numbers 19. Read Numbers 19, and I would like for y'all to do y'all study and understand, because he's saying they're throwing it up in people's face, and that is going to bring in Antichrist. But y'all read Numbers 19 and see that it has anything to do with, because you first of all, you ain't going to find where it's talking about no Antichrist or anti-Messiah or anti-anointed one. You ain't going to find it having anything to do with that. And what he's saying is too, which is also false when you read Numbers 19, that they're going to worship the ashes of the red heifer. That's what I'm telling y'all. Go to Numbers 19 and read and get clarity. So these Christians are twisting the daylight out of these scriptures and what it says. And number one, let's go here again. Now, as you as a Christian, you celebrate Christmas and all of these other, as y'all call them, as they call them, holidays, and y'all have y'all festivities around Christ, Mass, you're Catholic, you have Mass, and you have all these other things you have. Now, you mean to tell me, and it's just because people have their religious rights. So you mean the Jews, because they're saying they're Jews. Well, the people want to argue that those people over there are not. They call themselves Israelis. Now, I can argue some things against that, but that's not the point here tonight. You mean to tell me if they wanted to build a temple, they can't build their temple? But you can build all your mosques. You can build, you know, the Muslims can build their mosques, sacred mosques. You can build all your damn cathedrals for the Catholics out there, Catholicism. You can build all your elaborate churches and things. But if the Jews felt that they wanted to build and reestablish another temple that was demolished and the last temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans, just so happening now, you know, who's the own, well, yeah, we say own, or who's pushing this Jesus. So this is what y'all are actually seeing again, right? This is what you damn near saying again. If you understand the history of the Israelite tradition, or some say Judaism, it was the Romans. It was these damn who became the head church Christians who destroyed the temple in the first place. So this is what he's basically arguing about. He's arguing from a Roman point of view, and don't want them to build it because they destroyed it in 70 CE, the Common Era. They did, the Romans did. Yes, Titus Vespasius and his boys. So yeah, this is what this is all about. This still, I want to say, not a holy war, but it's still some other stuff to suppress. And I'm not agreeing with a lot of things that Israel do. Y'all know how I feel about some stuff over there with the Palestinian thing. My point on that. So I'm not agreeing with a lot of things that Israel. Hell, y'all know I don't stand with some things Israel do. But I'm just standing on Tanakh, the principles from Tanakh. That's it. And let me read one more time right here some things about, so we can get some show enough clarity. Well, we're talking about this anointed, so they can quit, because we're hearing about this damn Antichrist stuff. Antichrist this, Antichrist that. And we'll see here, because we asked the question, was Jesus really one? What is the Messiah, and was Jesus really one? Let's get it. Again, I have my complete, no, except for my complete Jewish Bible. I have the Jewish Encyclopedia, right? And it goes into this thing right here, talking about the Messiah. Well, this is Messianicism, the definition, but it goes into this. Now, it says that, I think Dave was kind of reading some of this earlier, right? It says the belief that the Jewish people and all humanity would be led into the golden age. That's what they're kind of putting out. It says of a perfect justice and universal peace by the Messiah, an ideal king and a perfect man. The Hebrew word Mashiach means one anointed with oil. Y'all get it? That's the original. When you say Mashiach, Mashiach in Hebrew, it means one anointed with oil. It says the ancient way of dedicating a man to a special service or office. Mashiach, Yahweh, it says the anointed of, if we say Mashiach Yahweh or whatever like that, y'all may say, or they say Mashiach or Messiah of Lord, that means the anointed of, as they say, God, right? It says, was a title of honor given in the Bible to the kings of Israel. So King David was a Mashiach. He was a Messiah. He was anointed one. Because keep in mind again, y'all, what does it mean? Anointed one, one who was dedicated to a special office or service. All right, let's keep going here. It says the prophet Samuel anointed both Saul and David as kings. The high priest Sadok and the prophets Nathan, I'm sorry. Samuel, king of Israel at David's request. So it says the prophets describe the Messiah as a divinely appointed man, an ideal ruler who will lead, it says here, the world in righteousness and peace. So there's a lot of things, I'm trying to get down here. It's a lot of couple of things. I want to skip this. It's a long definition. But it says in Judea, now here's what I was talking about earlier. And when Judea fell in 70 CE, the temple was destroyed. Longing for a Messiah among the Jewish people intensified, or anointed person as king or ruler, because basically it was a time when, I think it was a Babylonian captivity, one of those captivity, my mind kind of escaped me right now. There was not a seed of David who was on the throne anymore, ruling as a king or ruler in Israel. That was a point in time. So these people were longing. That's why you hear some people say in prophecies that they kind of talk about Jesus said that's the branch of Jesse and stuff like this. These prophecies will rise up and rule. And the Christians try to use that and said Jesus was the branch. You know, he was just anointed person who's supposed to rise up and all of this type of stuff. There's some deep stuff to this history, man, understanding this Messiah. But anyway, it says, while the temple was destroyed, longing for a Messiah among the Jewish people intensified. In their last revolt against the Romans from 132 to 135 CE, the Common Era, they were led by Simeon, son of Cobalt. The aged Rabbi Cobalt, called Simeon God's anointed or Messiah, and changed his name to Bakova. This is where y'all had to go into some history, basically with some you might find in Jewish encyclopedia, because you don't hear about this. They'll tell you like Jesus, tell you all the stuff about Jesus, but you have to understand the concept and meaning that the ancient Israelites, how they believed in this, called this anointed or Messiah. What they believe that this must, or the duty or the characteristic that this Messiah, what he was going to see. So we talk about a deliverer because, or a savior, as they say, but the Torah and the prophets, Isaiah, them only spoke about Yah or the Most High, Yah as the savior. But they was looking for a deliverer because, remember, Israel kept going into different captivities. They kept going into different captivities. And while they was in these different captivities, they was looking for this anointed king or somebody to deliver to bring them out of that captivity and bring them back into their prestige like they once had and bring them back into Israel to be a nation again. So this is what all of this stuff they was looking for, a deliverer, a person to deliver them. As we say, like, when our ancestors was here in America in chattel slavery, they might have been looking for a deliverer to bring them and get them out of the hand of bondage from the people here in America. And that's why you could see people like we had our sister, may the peace and blessing be upon her soul. Y'all remember Sister Harriet Tubman? Remember she had the title Grandma Moses, the Deliverer? Y'all right, see it? Because the bondage that they were in. Let me see what it was. So this person, y'all go back and understand about this person named Bakova, rise up, and he was saying like he was anointed at that time and looked at as another person because he was rebelling against the Roman Empire. And there's a lot of that, just like they talk about here in America. We talk about the slave revolt here in America that was happening. The same thing happened in Israel when there was a lot of revolts that was happening in Roman time, that people tried to rise up because the Romans had dominated the land of Judea at that time. They were ruling. Yes, sir, indeed. So some of that is also in the what they're calling the New Testament, but you got to know the history to understand it. Let me try to hurry up. Let me see. Trying to find something here. It says, during the long century of exile, the Jewish people continued to dream of the Messiah or this anointed person and the return of Israel. It says many false messiahs arose, mystics who really believe in themselves and apostles who took advantage of the people's despair. Each false messiah brought suffering and disillusion in his wake. Yet each new messiah found many followers anguished to believe and the return was at hand. So it's just like that's what this whole thing about when you're reading it, even in the Tanakh, those people who was in captivity, they was in exile, they were longing to return back to that land, back to Israel, their homeland. It's just, and my brothers and sisters who in America, it's just like our brothers and sisters who was in bondage here in captivity in America, they long to go back home to the places that, where we say Africa or wherever they was brought into slavery here in America. They were longing to go back home to their promised land, that land that they once lived. So all thing you got to do is just think about our bondage here in America and think about when you're reading the Bible, just think about that. It's easy history. And that's what this whole thing about anointed, this whole thing about a Messiah, but the Christians took it and made it out of to be a Messiah is a person who was supposed to come and die and suffer for your sins. And that's not what Tanakh actually teach. Tanakh does not teach that. Then we're going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to let Dave come back in. I have another pamphlet that I have from that was put together. It's a PDF file, y'all, actually, by put together by a Jewish rabbi who named it Rabbi Skobik, Rabbi Michael Skobak, who's in Canada. And he had something here. He was talking about the Messiah. He said the term the Messiah, and this is something here. It says the Messiah, the T-H-E, the. So in Hebrew, when we have the word the, is meaning the definite article, right? In Hebrew, that word would be ha, H-A, ha. English, it would be da, the definite article. So, and they have the word Messiah, which we go back to the word ha, Mashiach. So there's nothing in the Torah. There's no place in the Torah you can find, or the Tanakh. When I say Tanakh, y'all, that's what y'all call Old Testament. Maybe I just say it like that to keep it clear and understanding. There's nowhere in y'all what they call the Old Testament where you can find where you will see the Messiah. Or we say HaMashiach. It never appears in the Bible to say there is a the Mashiach. It does not appear in the Bible. Now, you find the word anointed and stuff like that. You say Messiah, or, I mean, anointed or something, but it never. But Christians here, as he was saying, he says the Bible never calls this king HaMashiach or the Messiah. It never does. It says the Bible never speak about the believing in the Messiah. Like they have today talking about so-called Jesus. And he says because he will be able to... Let me skip that. It said the Bible speaks about a time when the knowledge of the Most High Yah has spread it throughout the world. That's talked about We talk about Isaiah, Jeremiah, when the world will, you no longer have to teach. Let's think of this, Jeremiah 31 and 31, you know, down, a little bit farther down, talks about this, the whole world. You don't have to teach anybody. So that's a prophecy. When they talk about I will make a new covenant, which the Christians actually flipped that and changed that to this lie they have now, what they're calling a New Testament. But anyway, when you go in there, Jeremiah 31 and 31, it says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the tribe and Judah. So how they got now talking about the whole world. But anyway, we're going to get into this. That's another story. It says, when all weapons have been destroyed and there is an end to all conflict, when the Jewish people have been regathered to their homeland, and when the temple has been rebuilt in Jerusalem, and when Jews are sought out by the world as spiritual teachers, these dramatic utopia events will be plainly evident to every human and impossible to miss. The Bible tells us that the Messiah will reign as King of Israel, and this is the utopia is established. It is clear that Jesus, now there was some other people here was supposed to have been looked at as the Messiah. Shaktavi, it was a guy named Shaktavi. They thought he was the Messiah at one time, but he got killed. Named Pakova, and there's a lot of them, failed to fulfill these biblical, as they say, prophecies as the Messiah. So that was not only Jesus, y'all. Y'all got to understand, doing Jewish, so-called Jewish history or whatnot of history, there was a lot of people who rose up and to rebel against the authorities, and a lot of people thought they gathered a lot of followers, just like you see the story in the New Testament with Jesus. They gathered a lot of, but they did not bring Israel, gather the Israelites, gather the Jews, and bring them back like it was a prophecy. So it never happened. So here's the last thing. It says, in the response to the Christian claim that Jesus was fulfilled, would fulfill the messianic prophecies when he returned, it said the Bible never speaks about a second coming of a Messiah. It does not. All messianic passages relegated by Christians as the second coming prophesized have a first coming perspective. They speak about someone coming, not returning. A second coming could be claimed for any failed Messiah as giving no credibility to Jesus, the first coming. The New Testament has Jesus promise his Messiah that he would return during his lifetime, but he didn't. And that's sure enough. There you Matthew 16:28, when he told them, you know, a lot of things, you know, Matthew 24 and 34. But yeah, and that's what Christians have done. They have, with these so-called prophecies, as they say, if you can go through some of the prophecies, maybe we need to do that another time, Brother Dave, go through that. And there's a lot of things that he did not fulfill. Like, and I ask y'all this one right fast. Because they believe the Jews and or Jews or in Judaism or Israelites, they believe in their captivity they was going to be brought back. Even because y'all know there was a split in the nations, right? Y'all know that story, right? There was a southern kingdom and northern kingdom, right? So they were supposed to gather these nations back together as one again. Did so-called Jesus do that? Did he do it? No, he did not. Did he bring peace into the land? We know damn well, like we see what's going on right now. Because on the even in Judaism, they teach that, as I was reading earlier, damn, I cut it off, how they're saying that it's going to be a utopia, right? Going to be peace, no more wars. When this now, this is what they teach now. We hear Liberation Tabernacle, y'all. We don't believe in all of this, you know, messianic thing, but far as Judaism, they believe it. So that's why they're saying that Messiah hadn't came. But anyway, they say when this Messiah comes, this ruler, this leader, it's going to be peace on earth. There will be no more wars because he's going to be a man of peace. He will really get the peace. The Nobel Peace Prize. He will usher in peace. There's going to be no more wars. Everybody around the world will be worshiping the Most High and all of these type of things. You know, they said that the Israelites, according to, you know, the Tanakh, the Israelites would be the teachers, like they supposed to have been ministers to the whole world and teach people, like, you know, hey, how to really live in peace and all of this type of stuff. How to treat the poor. It's just going to be a nice, beautiful event. Not like that guy was trying to make it out like to be like, oh, man, they got the Jews, man, they going to, you know, how they going to kill everybody off the planet. No, that's not actually what the Tanakh actually teach. It don't teach that. It's talking about everybody's going to be peace, love, and harmony. It does not teach that. That's like I said, you understand really ancient or the scriptures, you understand these people are scare tactics, scaring the hell out of people because Christians want to dominate the damn world. Christians have been the one who have been terrorizing everybody on the damn planet. Is it not true? The doctrine of discovery, they call the doctrine of discovery, says that wherever you go, wherever those explorers, as they call explorers, went, and they found that those people in these lands they went to, like Columbus them, and they found that these people were not Christians. What did they say? Kill them. Damn. But I thought Jesus was supposed to have been bringing peace to the land. I thought Jesus was supposed to be bringing peace to the world. Huh? Talking about love. They always talk about this Greek thing called agape love. Hell, that ain't no damn agape love because I don't accept it's your Messiah, your Jesus. Damn, you got to kill me. But that's Christianity. Christianity have dominated and been going everywhere they went. It's been bloodshed. Hell, that's the truth. And that's what this guy, that's what he was want to push. He want to talk about Israel, what they're doing. And I said, I don't agree with what they're doing now, but I'm just saying, what he's talking about, this red heifer and they sacrifice Antichrist. And so they Christianity want to be ruled. And black folks, y'all know you ain't did too goddamn good under Christianity. Y'all know that full well. But I'm gonna pause right there, and later I jump into some stuff about they talk about sacrifices. Truly, you don't have to have sacrifices. There ain't been no goddamn sacrifices in thousands of years. But even when there were sacrifices, even when the Bible speaks about sacrifices, did y'all know it was just I'm trying to get my word. I can't get the word out. It was something, I can't even get the word out right. It really didn't cleanse you of your sin. It was just I can't get this word out. I'm trying to find it to describe it. I don't know. I want to say it's not going through the motion. It was like a symbolic type of gesture. That's what it's kind of like, a symbolic type of gesture. But it was about you repenting, you having sincerely repent. Let me give y'all something right fast. I said I was going to pause. But even with their talking about sacrificing this, that doesn't got a damn thing to do, because Israel, even in the Torah, said, I don't want your sacrifice, sacrificing all, but they don't mean nothing to me, y'all. Because, like, people were back then, they were just sacrifice. They could do, they were doing wrong. And they were just sacrificing bulls, just sin, I mean, just constantly sacrificing these animals. And they never changed their ways. That's why you'll see in the Torah, like, I'm sick of your sin offerings and blood. Hey, man, don't bring this to me. Because in their heart, they did not truly repent. They didn't change. Because we talk about repentance means you change your ways. You stop doing what you were doing. So just by you bringing these bulls and these goats and you're sacrificing, but you still doing your dirt, hey, man, that ain't doing nothing. The true sacrifice, or the true thing we call in the Hebrew language, is teshuva, mean to return. Turn from, like old folks say, turn from your wicked ways. It truly means, that's what it actually means. Confess that you have done wrong, and you changed it. If you were a homemonger, you homosexual, or whatever you were, robber, thief, whatever you were, you changed. You stopped doing that. You confess to the Most High, say, I admit that I have done wrong, and you stopped doing it. That's what actually counts, not damn sacrifices. The sacrifice didn't mean a damn thing. So they can come back and start sacrificing bulls and animals. That don't mean a damn thing. They're just a symbolic gesture. But here's something right fast. When you go, and like Christians want to talk about, you know, you got to have the blood. Let me see, Roman, like they got Hebrews 9 and 22. According to the law, as they say, according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, which they misquoting that. They mistaken it out of context dealing with Leviticus. But it says here, so in addition, in referring to unintentional sin, the limited nature of blood sacrifice can also be seen in Leviticus 5 and 13. And it says, and it direct the poor, penitent person, it says, who could not afford an animal's offering, to offer a non-blood like flour, grain in his place. Say what? I thought everything has to be according to Christian. I thought it had to be about the blood. So if you were a poor person and you didn't have money to buy a goat or a cow or something, you can offer flour. I bet y'all the Christian pastors won't tell y'all that one. I bet you they won't tell you. You can offer grain. You can offer things of that. But the thing were, if you sacrifice and offerings were brought, what they call unintentional sins. Not like I knew I was going to go out here. I was going to go out here and rob this person. I knew I had that in my mind that I was going to rob this person. You didn't bring sacrifices for that. That's intentional sins. Thou shalt not steal. You knew, but if you they call unintentional. If you broke one of the laws and you didn't know. They call it unintentional. That's when you brought a sacrifice. That's what it's for, unintentional sins. It's in the Torah, y'all. But anyway, so why were unintentional sins rather than intentional sins singled out for sacrifice? Because when you do something accidentally, you commonly minimize its severity and downplay the need for repentance. We rationalize and tell ourselves it was just an accident. The process of bringing a sacrifice focuses attention on the seriousness of the unintentional transgression. An animal was offered to remind us that we were careless with our animal passion. The animal need to be unblemished. That's what it's all about. So, y'all, get into that and learn some, man, really, truly what this thing is about. Don't let these damn Christians tell y'all, because they want human sacrifice, which the Torah actually goes against. No man can die for another man's sin. And no so-called Jesus was not one of the Messiah. Well, he was a false anointed one. But go ahead, take it over there.
Hey, no, I'm going to say one quick thing.
No, go ahead, brother. Take it over. I spoke a long time. My bad. Go ahead.
No. I was going to come in and say, when you said that about the human sacrifice, they talking about the eyes wide shut.
Mm. Mm.
That's what they talk about. That's why you always hear them talking about the human sacrifice. They're talking about P. Diddy and the, all that stuff. That's why they always say that, man, get down for yourself. Because, you know, they said when you get into Hollywood, you got to sacrifice somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's where they get it from. That's why they can't break that spell. Because that's why I tell you, that's one of the reasons why I just got out of all that stuff, man. That's the reason why, because the things that they talk against, they do. Human sacrifice, Jesus died for your sin. Well, that means y'all need to clean y'all ass up if somebody died for something wrong that your ass done did. You know, if me and you go out and do something wrong, Maury, we go out there, we do some crime together, and somebody, you know, get caught in the crossfire. Now, if we find out about it, wouldn't you want to clean your damn life up?
Yes, sir.
You want to clean your life up, man. I would, too. So the fact that they want somebody to die for their sins goes to show how selfish and how evil these people is. That's why I said I left the church a long time ago. I left Messianics long time ago. I had a guy ask me that I believe in the Messiah. I said, I covered my ears. I said, I can't do that. I said, I just can't do it. I said, no. I can't do it because, for one, you know, that means that I'm going to put all my faults on somebody else. If I do wrong, you do wrong, we got to take accountability for our own actions. You know, and that's the problem with Christians and Messianics. They don't want to take responsibility for what wrong they've done.
That's right.
You know, and that's why you don't hear us talking all this Messianic stuff, because we over it. We've been there, done that, man. It's terrible. These people don't know how to act. They don't. And it's a real damn shame. People get caught up in the crossfire like that.
Damn.
People literally die every day because of somebody. They call it, I forgot what they call it, when you get framed for something, you get framed in a crime and you know you ain't do. There was a movie where Denzel played, I think it was called Ricochet, the movie, and they put a crime that he didn't do on him. And it was somebody that looked like him. It's a damn shame, man. That's why I tell you that, you know, Christians want to do wrong, and they just want to keep doing it. And they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. And it's a shame, because y'all got to take responsibility for y'all stuff. The Ghetto Twins had a song called Responsibility. I don't know if you remember that song. Responsibility. Responsibility.
Oh, yes, sir.
You know, they got to take responsibility for what wrong they've done. You know, that's why we got all these deadbeat daddies out here. Hell, I never knew my biological father. I talk about this all the damn time. You know? Shit. This, you know, I found out this bigger family is right from the same city I am in. But hiding like a goddamn, hiding like a Waldo. You know, where's Waldo? shit. Nigga behind them plain sight. It's terrible, man. It's damn terrible. Well, yeah, that's all I got to say is, man, y'all need self-responsibility for what wrong y'all done. The Democrats need to, too. They letting all these drag queens all in the school, and it's affecting the kids. You know, they letting all this drugs into the school system. It's affecting the kids. You know, it's time. We can't keep on letting people get away with shit. Political systems is all screwed up. And these black leaders, like we talk about all the time, don't want to step the hell up and do nothing. So, yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell y'all, man. Get out of that. Stop blaming people for what wrong y'all done.
Yes, sir. I think I hear Alpha Male.
Yes, brother.
Yes, brother P.
Hey, you didn't bring your little niece Justice in here.
Nah, I went down to Planned Parenthood and did a late-term abortion, so. But, nah, Dave hit the nail on the head because, I mean, before I knew anything about religion, or, you know, the Bible or anything, I used to always watch my folks. And it was like, okay, they keep talking about Jesus. And it's like this victim mentality. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, I'm not going to fight back. I'm not going to stand up for myself. I'm going to just wait for Jesus. Jesus is going to get you. And I was like, well, hold up. You know, this motherfucker here just stole your shit or called you a nigger or, you know what I mean, just outright disrespectful and aggressive. And all you can say is, oh, don't worry about it because Jesus is going to fix it. And I never could get with that. You know? And I was like, well, who is this Jesus? Because I need to call him. Because I can't take no more. And at a time, I just lost my mind. I was like, I ain't taking it no more. Now, here's the funny thing. As I learned how to read or listen, it was like this. Now, they love the New Testament, so I didn't even really know much about the Old Testament. I just knew the New Testament rhetoric. But even in the New Testament, I mean, there was no passiveness. I mean, you heard about, death and destruction and correction and discipline, and I'm like, well, hold up. So y'all reading the Bible that, you know, basically telling you to fight back, and you're not. You know, so that always blew my mind. I could never get with that.
That's right. This, and the crazy part, Brother Alpha Male, is too, now, they said Jesus said, believe in the Father. You know, I can do nothing of myself. What I see the Father do, I do. You know, it's like Moses talked about the Most High too. But here's the crazy part. In that so-called New Testament, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. The Torah don't never say if you don't believe in Moses, you're going to go to hell. And none of that. But that's how they get the people. It's that scare tactic with that so-called New Testament. You don't believe Jesus, you going to hell.
And that shit works, too. Because, I mean, I'm talking generations and multitudes. Like wow, I can't get with this.
Yeah. You
know? Especially being a man, because, you know, a man, and I don't mean just a male. But a man ain't going to stand for that shit.
Yep.
You know, but I'd be like, well, look, I'll see you on hell because I'm about to crack this rascal on the head because I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it.
Yes, sir.
And then here's the worst of it all. Now, I don't know about when y'all were coming up, but our grandparents and parents, man, if we stood up, they were the ones that were cracking us in the head, whooping our asses, you know, because it was like you said, fire and brimstone, don't ask the wrong questions, don't say the wrong thing. Boy, I tell you, I didn't know what an extension cord was for the longest time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were fucking us. I mean, just for asking questions, you know. So, yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's been a crazy ride.
Yeah. And the cold part about it, if people, like, you got to go back through time. Well, they go back through time and look at it. Because, like, when they talk about the Torah, the Tanakh, what they call Old Testament. And then there's a shift because, like, it goes down through time. But there's something people don't know. They call it the intertestamental period. And that's basically where you get what they call the Apocrypha. That's when you start getting into where a lot of the Israelites were Hellenized through the Greek culture. And there was a lot of Greeks who actually converted as well to so-called Judaism or the Israelite tradition. So that's a lot of stuff the Israelites don't teach. And this how you have a lot of Jews who actually were Greeks who actually converted to Judaism. And this is where like the whole spin, how a lot of stuff too, the meaning of the Messiah and stuff changed because these were actually Greek Jews. And then you get, by the time you get to that so-called New Testament, and now you got a lot of Greek culture involved in this. And there was a lot of Israelites who actually started believing and loving. That's why they call Hellenistic period. They started taking on a lot of the ways of the Greeks. And so this is where that whole Jesus-type doctrine, I know it was a language at that time. Coin Greek and all of this, but even with that, that's why it was so accepted that Jesus was this man God and all of this stuff, because that's Greek culture. So that whole New Testament is actually Greek culture and stuff of that nature. People talk about the Hasmoneans, the Seleucids, and these other people who took over and converted to Judaism and basically took it over. So that's when a lot of this whole Jesus stuff, it ain't nothing but a lot of Greek and Roman culture. And that's it. Don't mix in because of like the converts. And that's when you start, like I said, seeing it change through after what they call the after the canon and all of this stuff, or the so-called Tanakh ended, and people start converting because you don't see. That's why sometimes it might be confusing when you read the Old Testament and then start reading the New Testament. But people don't understand how it started changing because a lot of people, outsiders, as they call Gentiles, basically, they start converting and they start bringing in a lot of their ways. Because a lot of them people, like Herod, that you see, read about in the so-called New Testament, as they say, wanted to kill baby Jesus. They might say he was the king of the Jews, but he was not a Jew by blood. He was a Jew by conversion. He was what they call an Edomite. He was a convert Jew.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's some deep history to this.
Yeah, I can kind of understand what you're saying about Roman and Greek mythology. And the funny thing about all their idols, their gods and deities, are all freaks.
Yep.
Like homosexuals, pedophiles, and the bestiality is just disgusting, you know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And Dave, help me out with the history, Dave. Because I was talking about in 70 CE, they might say 80, but 70 CE when the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem, was destroyed by Titus Vespasian, and I forgot his daddy's name. Ah, damn. They started having the people to worship them as the father and son. When they destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, they might say 70 AD, but we say the common era. They start having the people worship them, Titus Vespasian, and I forgot his damn father's name. They start having it. They got a gate. I might have sent it to you. They got to put up a gate there, and they got like statues and stuff. It was all on the History Channel. They have all this stuff, and they show you on the History Channel. Yeah, they style worship, having them worship as a father and son, just like the Jesus Christ stuff. So yeah, this is show you what a Roman and Greek culture. Bro, they got a whole thing finding Jesus or something on the History Channel. What's that, bro?
His Titus' father name was Vespasian.
Yeah, but it was Titus, Vespasian, and what was
his brother name was Demotian.
Demotian, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, his brother name was Desmotian. But yeah, his brother name was Demotian, and they destroyed Jerusalem a couple of times. So they was the first Jewish revolt, you know, the first one, the very first one. And, you know, and these was pretty much Romans. These was pretty much Romans that did that. And they the ones that actually took over Jerusalem. Yep. And, But.
I just have a quick question. So is the Jerusalem of today the Jerusalem of Old Testament times?
Hell no. I'm gonna tell you some Alpha Male, and I'm glad you asked that. Even with the Balfour Declaration, that was in the 1930s and 1940s that was established. You know, right. So and I'm gonna tell you something, REI. And this is real talk. I was in a grocery store, and you know me, I wear my Star Davids, I wear all this shit. I wear my mask, I wear my rings. You know, I'm Jewed out. Like, I don't care what it is. I'm a proud Jew. You know what I'm saying? They see me, I don't take my shit off for nothing. I wear my prayer shawls. I'm decked out and Jewed down. You know, and so, you know, white Jewish guy saw me and said, "What's up with all that?" What do you mean by what's up with all that? He said, "The Star David and all that stuff, you know, you convert to Judaism?" I said, "Hell no." I said, "My whole ancestry is Hebrew." I said, "When I did my 23andMe, my haplogroup was the haplogroup of the Israelites." I said, I'm born, raised, bar mitzvah, all that shit. Besides, I said, my whole ancestry is Hebrew. And I told him, I said, you know, that's how it is. And he said, he was like, oh, he tried to push, tried to play me, talking about some, you know, yeah, he served in the Israeli army, and he was from what fucking country was that? I think it's Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan. I think he's from. I said, so how the hell are you talking about you and you, and you come from Kazakhstan?
Kazakhstan.
And you know what? And I told this guy, I said, see, that's the issue. I said, see, the Israel that you fought for, that was reestablished. I said, the real Israel is above Africa. I said, well, you see Arabia, that's at the side of the Horn of Africa. You know, Arabia was a part of Africa at one time. Okay? They fought over their little part of land. They had a, you know, before Pangaea, they split. The whole world split apart. But all that shit was a part of Africa. But Israel was above Alpha Male.
And I think that's what Alpha Male was actually asking. They placed that landmass, or what they're calling Israel, not the people. Now, am I mistaken, Alpha Male? That's what you're talking about? Is that place that they're saying, is that actually Israel, the land?
Hell no.
Yeah.
Come on, that's what you're saying.
That's not Israel. That's not Israel. The real Israel is there. Is like I said, is really where Arabia and above is like where Arabia and the Horn of Africa is, because that was all Israel.
Okay, well, because now you got to do with archaeological sites, right? Because now I understand what Alpha Male's saying, because now you got to account for when you go there to Israel or in Jerusalem and things of that nature. You see I be watching it on YouTube. I be watching a lot of the guy he called it Quiet Walker, and how he walking. He don't say nothing. He just walks and just take you on tours and all these places. And I look at like the City of David. They show you these different places. Like, you know, that a lot of the Israel like that we see in the day, that's smart, but a lot of the stuff is under there. It's built. The cities are under there. Actually, Israel is built under the modern Israel we see today. They show you a lot of this stuff. I got archaeological books and stuff. So I would say yes, it is, because again, that you had to go back and look at some of those monuments and places. But now, what we're talking about when we're saying that, because you can go back through the history and it'll show you that's the place. Some people say Zion, Mount Zion. I've seen some Israelites somewhere there saying that's not the actual place. But through archaeological evidence and stuff that I've seen and them showing, that is the place, because they have these sites and stuff still there. It's like the modern city might be built on top of them, and on top of it, but they can take you go down up under there, and you can see all of this stuff. But like I said, when we're going, because you mentioned the Balfour Confederation, now that's true. How it the state of Israel, what they're calling today, now we can know that's not. That's why they call it the Israelis and all of that. But I think Alpha Male was talking about, is that the actual place where you see the Wailing Wall? Was that the actual place where the temple used to be? I think that's where Alpha Male was actually getting at.
No, hell no.
So that place is a whole fake place. So where is the old site? Because why they show the City of David, and you can see these sites. So where was the actual place? I mean, where is the actual evidence there? Because you gotta do archaeological evidence now. That's what's gonna kill you right there, Dave.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. See, it was connected. It was above Africa.
And Israel
that's
is.
Why I say that.
Israel is.
Israel yeah. Still above Africa. It ain't moved. I hear what you're saying, but that still is above. Get you a map, Dave. Go get your map and look at it. Israel is still above. It's still connected. It's right there next to. It looked like you can walk from Egypt right in there. You'll be right in the land of Canaan, as they say. Remember, they said Canaan land. It's right there. I'm looking dead at it on the map. It's still connected. Only thing they have it right there that reads, see, because you were saying like Saudi Arabia is connected to Africa. And the only thing you got that's dividing it is what they call the Reed Sea or the Red Sea. I can't hardly see that from here, though, but. That's it. That big water that's in the middle between there is just dividing Africa and Saudi Arabia. That's it. So what you're saying is that's true. I understand what you're saying. But he talk about where is the land of Israel, because that's why I'm saying archaeological evidence is there. The monument.
I'm looking at my map right now.
All that is because that's why some Israelites, they'll tell you, is the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, as they was once called, remember? Some people say which they call in Israel. They say that does sit on the African tectonic plate. That's why some Africans, some brothers was admit, like, you know, them damn crazy-ass camps. That ain't no part of Africa, but there are some Israelites who even do admit it. They said it sit on the African tectonic plate. So they said Atlanta is real. It is.
It is above Africa. But what I'm trying to say is Africa, right, when we're looking at Africa, we're looking at Arabia, we're looking at Israel, right? What I'm trying to tell you is they established their own state of Israel. That's not the real Israel.
Well, where is the real Israel?
I just told you, but they reestablished it under their democracy is what I'm trying to say. The Europeans reestablished their shit.
You talk about the Balfour Confederation. I'm talking about the land mass. I understand what you're saying about them saying the state of Israel, because remember they're saying again the Palestine, it was called, and then we have we talked about last week, talk about the British Empire, and when Alpha Male talked to the other guy, we understand that history, but we still talking about a land mass. Where's that land mass? Because okay, so what you're saying then, that Wailing Wall that they be over there, as they call the Wailing Wall, they say that's the Western Wall. We would have to say that's a fake wall. Solomon Temple and stuff did not actually stand there. That's not actually Solomon's Temple.
It's somewhere else. When all old time Jerusalem was destroyed, it's just like, okay, New Orleans. I'm using example. Louisiana. When the levees broke, they had that hurricane in Louisiana. Back before then, you go down the Jefferson Parish, you go down to New Orleans, cities like New Orleans, you go down there for Mardi Gras. When that flood happened there, Hurricane Katrina, what happened? All the shit got knocked down. Everything got destroyed. So what happened?
True.
They rebuilt Bourbon Street. They were Bourbon Street. If Louisiana got destroyed by the hurricane and they rebuilt Bourbon Street, they down there doing Mardi Gras every damn year. How you going to establish Bourbon Street?
Is Louisiana still in Louisiana?
Yeah,
even after the flood, it's still in Louisiana, right? Louisiana didn't move and go nowhere. So you're trying to say they moved Bourbon Street somewhere else?
They had to recreate the shit.
But they didn't move it though, did they? They built it back in the same spot.
We don't know if that's the same spot.
They did, because all of it didn't get flooded out.
Well,
they just, like you said, they just rebuilt it. And that's what we're talking about, the same thing. You look at Solomon Temple, you can see it's still in the same. The only thing you see on there, you see Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's what they're complaining about, the Muslims. They built Al-Aqsa Mosque on top of that Solomon Temple. Because you got to go back through the wars and all of this with the Christian, with the Byzantine and all of them. That's the same landmass. It hadn't went nowhere. It's the same place. Despite what we're saying, I understand what you're saying, because you're trying to say, despite what the Balfour Confederation, what they're saying, this is the state of Israel. That's a political thing. But I'm talking about the landmass, and then all of those ancient sites are still there. Some of them might be torn down. They can show you, bro. They can show you all of that shit, man. I can't think of some of them. It's some cities that's right outside of there, Goshen and all of these places. It's all that right there. It's right there. It ain't went nowhere. It's probably different people came in and took over it, like you said, the Palestinians, the this people, that people. They came in and took that place and claimed it for their own. But that's the same place. It ain't changed. So I would say your point. See, but the thing we're gonna get you is that you're gonna have to show where is the old temple. How was so they built all of that stuff, like the They built everything they got there and making it look like that's the original. And so where is the old city? What's going to get you is your archaeological evidence. That's what's going to kill you right there.
I'm going to tell you this. For me, I don't even know. If I go to Israel right now and I say, show me King Solomon's temple, somebody going to show me some bullshit. You know, it ain't going to be the same. King Solomon's temple, they probably going to put some TVs there. They probably built another one on top of another one. Like you said, there's cities under cities. That stuff ain't we don't know. It's just like a museum.
That's what they can show you, Dave. They unearthing this shit all the time. They showing you archaeologists are showing you this stuff. They're digging up, showing you this stuff all the time. I watch this shit all the time and seeing this stuff. They showing you this stuff. They got the evidence. They digging it up. Like I said, you can go and look and see, bro. And they show you how they built it on top of the modern city, on top of the old one.
Well, I get what both of y'all are saying because, they have unearthed some structures. But to Dave's point, I mean, how many years were they talking about that the pyramids were just burial tombs? You know, they actually told us they found, mummies in these pyramids. So they assumed they were tombs. But now the truth comes out, they never found any mummies or any burial, anything in any of the pyramids. So, it's kind of tough to go.
But here's the thing here, to my point, right? I'm glad you mentioned, have the pyramids move. Have the pyramids been changed and moved anywhere else? Those structures been there. Despite what they say in the pyramids, have those structures changed? That's the point I'm making. Egypt, Cairo, and all of those places have been there. They hadn't moved. They ain't went nowhere. They can call it what they want to. They can say what's in there. Have that landmass and those structures moved? No, they had not. That's the point I'm making to you. And Israel is the same way. The structures had not changed. That's just the point.
It would be nice if they had a postal system back then.
Yeah. But see, this is why I'm saying Yeah, because they're finding places now. They're digging up, and it's like the Bible spoke about certain places. That's why they even said the Bible spoke about like a lot of certain places that they like, man, that shit was fake. And then they start digging up, unearthing a lot of the cities. Now they find a lot of these cities like, whoa, damn, hold up, man. This shit got to be real. The Bible spoke, and they finding it now, the place that the Bible spoke about. So I'm saying, so these places are still there. It's because you can look at how, like, look at the Western Wall. You look at, now you'll see some modern bricks because, like I said, they have been rebuilt. But if you pay attention to I don't think nobody be paying attention to this. I know the damn country community don't talk about it, but look at them same bricks, them same big, because they be like, how the hell they get them bricks to stand up like that and build a pyramid? If you look at that Western Wall, look at them big-ass bricks. It's the same type of damn near bricks almost. Stone big-ass blocks, just like the pyramid. But I don't hear nobody talking about that. How the hell they get them big-ass bricks? Look at that Western Wall and look at them bricks.
Yeah, because there ain't no water to float them. I always wondered that myself. How the hell they get those big-ass stones up there?
Yep, but I don't hear none of them goddamn country community people talking about that. How did they like, man, the Israelites, they couldn't have built the pyramid. Well, they must knew the same technology or the techniques because it's the same damn type of bricks. How did they do it?
And see, that's why I say for me, that's why I don't even deal with all this shit. Cause the fact that a lot of people don't realize they shit been rebuilt over time. Shit been rebuilt all the time. It's just like the hotel where Martin Luther King got killed at in Memphis. The what's it called? The Lorraine Hotel or whatever. I guarantee you they done remodeled that hotel about a million times.
Pay attention to the words you listen. Pay attention to the words you said. Now you know I try to be. I'm technical now. You pay attention to the words you said, and that's proving my point. And I ain't trying to be right or nothing like that, but that's proving the point. Like you said, I've been in Memphis, hell, all my little old life. You're right. They have remodeled the Lorraine Hotel, but that's still the Lorraine Hotel. It hadn't moved. It was not in another location, and then it moved to that location where it is. You're right. They just added on, but that's still the original Lorraine Hotel. You're right. They added on and remodeled some stuff. That's why I'm saying if you go, you look at Israel, and that's why I made the statement, a lot of modern Israel is built on top of the ancient Israel, and you can still go underground and walk on some of the old streets of old Israel. It's still there with probably some modern shit on top of it. It hadn't moved. It wasn't over in the corner over here. Then they moved it. Then they said, well, they left it, and then they were going to rebuild it over here. We're going to call this. It's still there. Still the same one. They just added on to it. That's what I'm saying. It's still there.
Yeah,
Lorraine Hotel is still there.
That answered my question.
Yeah, Graceland, shit. Graceland don't. They don't add it on that motherfucker play the town. I don't know how I'm bringing Graceland up. That's what I'm saying. It's literally places like the pyramid. A lot of these places are still there. Yes, they modified it. Yeah, like even with some of the pyramid, they don't add it guardrails so people can go in and walk. That wasn't in there. They added that in there. But it's still the same pyramids.
Yeah.
Still the same places. Yeah, there you go. Check it out, man. Look up some of the artwork. I mean, archaeological stuff, bro. They show you this shit, man. I've got a book right here, even Zondervan's archaeological biblical book, and they show you this. And I watched a lot of this shit back on you. I love to watch them tours. It's a guy. He actually is Jewish, and he married to a Palestinian woman. I forgot their name. I like to watch their stuff, how they go on tours and show you all these different places. They even got a place, man, messed me up. It was somewhere. I forgot where. Because you know how they say in Egypt, they actually was Canaan one time. Canaan, the land of Canaan, that they say. It was actually a colony of Egypt. And they show you way like someplace in Israel. They show you some hieroglyphics. And they show you a site of some of the ancient Egyptian deities and stuff like that. That's in Israel. Because that place was colonized one time by Egypt. Yeah, that's part of the history. Go ahead, bro.
No, I got you. Yeah, they tear down and build up, but the landmass is still, you know, where it was originally.
Yeah, I wish I could find that damn. I don't even know what video it was, but they show you. Yeah, they got some. It's some steel sites in like in Israel, where the Egyptians, where the Kemetic people went in, where they had. They show you the monuments and the glyphs, all that shit still there, in the land of Israel, what we call in the land of Israel, and well, some part of Canaan. They show you it's still there. Some of them temples still there. I love watching, man, some of them things, them tours. It's a sister. She's a Christian, but I think she's from Kenya. She's originally from Kenya, and she do a lot of she going like videos. She do a lot of them going to them different sites. And I that's how I relax sometimes. I sit back and just watch them. I'm like, shit, I can't go. I just sit there and I watch them on the video doing the tours. Dave Petra. They talk about the Edomites, the land of the Edomites. That you ever seen that day? Edom.
Yeah, I've seen that before. You talking about where it's real red?
Yeah.
it's like ruddy looking. Yeah, I've actually heard that before, and I've seen it. It's brownish looking too, like reddish brownish.
That's some cold stuff. Man, I did it in the Oculus Alpha Male. Damn, that should be so cold in the Oculus. The city of Patra. Yeah, going through them rocks, man. That stuff cold.
Well, you're going to have to send me those tours when you run across.
Yeah, okay. It's been a while since I did. Yeah, I don't know if it was an app. It might have been an app. I don't know. I got to find it. Yeah, I find it. I sent it. Yeah, that joint was nice. Especially, man, you can do the 360, you know, the videos on, they got 360 and they got something else on there. Now, damn, some cold ones when you do the 360 on YouTube. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that one. Yeah.
So, look, I've seen that before.
But Dave, go ahead, Dave.
Go ahead.
You talking about where you do like the kind of like Google Maps, but you can kind of actually see it, like when you can actually see an actual clear like satellite movement of the country, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about these here on the headsets. You know, they got 360, meaning you can see all around you. Like we got the headsets. Like we standing in one spot. And we can just turn all around
you
us.
You can see. Gaming system.
Yeah, the Oculus headset. Yeah. See, that, you know, on YouTube, like you got your phone, you just standing there. Hell, and that's it. You just looking at your screen. Nah, what the headset is, when you do 360 on a headset, you standing in one spot, but you can turn around. Like you turn around like, you know, like you're standing in the middle in New York City Times Square, you're turning around looking at all the buildings. That's how it is with that headset. And you could be inside, inside the pyramid. You can be inside of any temple or museum, and you just, it's stuff all around you like you actually there. And yeah. I went into one of them, one temple I went in. And it's like people actually got a hit the camera on headset filming it. So, it's like, but it's actually like you when you watching it. And it's like, man, people, we was in there, we was walking around other people. It's like they actually were there. You can hear everybody talking and shit. Man, that shit was, it's like I was really trying to touch the wall because, I mean, it's actually like you was actually inside of the temples. I was like, damn, this shit cold.
Shit. I tell you what tripped me out. I was on an African, I won't call it a safari, but, you know, they would take you out with the animals, show you the baby lions. And I'm looking at these little cubs play.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I hear mama behind me.
Oh, damn.
I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I know it ain't real, but my reaction was the same, though.
Yep. I got to send you this one. They were in the Amazon. You'd be on a boat. And you get off the boat, then people come running to you like they dancing in front of you, welcoming you to the. I gotta find that one. I gotta send you that one, man. I enjoy it, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit is cold. It's like you be trying to shake their hand, and it's like that shit is fun.
Now you remember you told me you were going down the street and you felt like you were gonna bump into people.
Man,
yeah, I experienced that in was I in Italy? Or somewhere because they got some tiny ass streets,
yep.
And I felt like I was gonna run into somebody. I'm like, hold up,
man. Now I'm glad you mentioned it. Now I don't think you know, everybody was like, you talking about they want to go back to Israel. I don't want to go over there and live over there. I be watching them, them videos. How they go down the market. I don't know how in the hell they don't have a lot of accidents. Because they got scooters, like, through the little shopping mall. Little-ass, thin-ass streets. Cars got to drive through there. People got to walk. Like, damn. How the hell they... I can't live over there. Hell no.
Hell, it's worse than India.
Damn. The tight-ass street.
Yeah, you got a dude on a scooter carrying what should be in the back of a pickup truck. He's carrying it on his shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some, there are some extremely rude people, because think about it. I mean, everybody on top of everybody, you know, like, wow.
Yeah. And how they build them streets. I mean, I know it had to take a lot, because the streets are made of stone, like blocks. All of it made of blocks. I'm like, damn.
Well, I built a patio by myself, so I guess if you got enough heads, you can make it happen.
Yeah, I guess. And it looked like, man, but one thing, it looked like they got some, man, what you call it? Is it shellac to make it shiny? What's that stuff you put on it? It looked like that's what they put on it, keep it like it's shining, man, like that wax on them.
Yes. Now, there is a machine that you got two guys that load the blocks in it, and one guy driving it. It moves real slow, but it'll lay those blocks perfectly on a flat surface.
Man, maybe, because I know they hold the whole city be just like that, laid out. They ain't got no street like we got. I'm like, oh, they're just concrete. I mean, blocks. Like, damn, it took a long time to build that damn city up. But I don't think I want to go over there.
We have an area called Historic Old Newcastle, Delaware. And it was cobblestone and basically the same thing you're talking about. Now, it wasn't taken care of. It wasn't nothing shining and gleaming. Not in my lifetime, but yeah, the little historic area is set up like that.
Yeah. Oh, now David. Now going back to some archaeological evidence. Now here's a problem. Now this is why I jump off the boat with this one. They be saying they got Jesus temple and shit. Now you ever seen that one? They had, now first they'll show you, supposed to have been where his sarcophagus was. Then they'll show you inside of a church and they got it. That's a money grab right there. That's just for tourists. But they show you one part. It's like a little cave. They said that was his temple. But then next thing I know, you'll see another part. It's like they pretend they built a church on top of his sarcophagus.
You know, I've seen that before, man. You gotta realize Jesus wasn't really even in Israel that much. Like, he was at other places outside of Israel. Like, even when you read the New Testament, then, like you were saying, that's a money grab. Like, he was mostly in Rome half of the damn time. He was all over Rome. He was shit. You talking about Israel. Jesus wasn't even in Bethlehem too much either. He might have been born in Bethlehem, but his ass was pretty much roaming the streets. So I mean, Jesus was out there in the streets from an early age. He just pretty much ran away from home and was everywhere. But he wasn't, you know, even when you read the New Testament, he wasn't never really in Israel like that. Like, even his disciples was everywhere else. They was all in Rome and shit. Like, that's why I say, like you were saying, they got monuments on where Jesus is at. Really? Really?
Yeah, and that mug be packed like Graceland here when Elvis' birthday. That junk be packed, though. And they got a lot of places they be having tours you can go visit so-called these people. Tombs and graves.
And look, and that's the reason why I say, man, they even got one for Paul too. I heard they got one for Paul. They got a couple in Italy where they said Paul was at. And I'm sitting up there thinking, like, where the hell do y'all think Paul was at? Like, y'all really think that shit's still gonna be up there in perfect place? Shit.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. That's one tomb they can tear down. Go ahead, bro.
No, I remember years ago, they were trying to make this big deal about this hole in the rock. So it was supposed to be where they put put Jesus for the 3 days before he rose again or whatever. And they found this piece of cloth in there. Now, this was the prettiest cloth I've seen to be in the cave for 100 years.
Oh, you're talking about
you could almost see the end print of this.
Yeah, what is this? The Shroud of Turin.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, the Shroud of Turin. That crazy. Yeah.
And you know what? And they actually sell cloths like that too. And they said, oh, this is the cloth of Jesus. I remember looking at the Word Network. I used to look at the Word Network years ago. And they had people that were going towards Jerusalem, and they would, and also, you know, in Israel, and they would sell little shit like, oh, this is the water from Jesus' well, and I'm like, y'all ain't got no water where Jesus had drank, like, you know, like, yeah, they was selling cloths and everything. They had one thing, and they were Don Stewart. He said the miracle prayer cloth or some shit like that. He said he actually got it from Israel. It was a piece cut from Jesus cloth they healed people with. I was like, ain't this some shit? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of game.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm actually looking at some stuff. They said untold archaeological evidence from the Temple Mount. They're showing some old stuff.
I seen somebody say that they found a real cross where Jesus was killed on. I was like, y'all lost your minds. Y'all need to beat yourself with that shit. Y'all got two big pieces of wood from Home Depot and nailed it together, talking about that's the
damn
cross of Jesus.
They found some driftwood down at the beach.
But I heard about that rock though, about that rock with the hole in it, and they said it was the water sprouted out of there. It's a damn shame. It was a damn shame. And you know what's so sad about that? You got some Masons that believe, because when you deal with Masonry, they got something called the rough ashlar and the perfect ashlar, right? Some Masonic organizations believe that was the rock of Jesus. Where the waters, you know, when they say Jesus, I forgot what part of the New Testament it was. You know, I gave up on Jesus so long ago. But, you know, it was something about he touched the water, touched the rock, and made water come out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they say that some, like in Masonry, they got the perfect ashlar and the rough ashlar. I've heard some people say in some documentaries on Masonry that the perfect ashlar represents that rock that Jesus had water come out of. I've heard that before. I've heard that before, and I'm like, what the hell?
Damn.
But
they, you know what they be talking about, the ashlar, don't it, right?
Nah.
The ashlar, when they talk about the perfect uncut stone, that's symbolic. It's talking about you.
Oh, you talking about the stone that the builders refused?
Well, nah. When they saying the perfect ashlar, they talking about you personally, you. That's talking about building you, building your character, building your personality. They say the perfect uncut stone, like they might talk about us. Like yourself, you are staying uncut, but you have to be perfected and shaped into place. You know what I'm saying? To build a perfect you. That's
right.
That's one of the lessons they be talking about.
Yeah, you know, I studied masonry a little bit, and, you know, some years ago, and I, you know, that's one thing about masonry, black masonry. Black masons, when you actually deal with masonry and you get into it, like you were saying, you was in the ancient Egyptian order, you know, you actually study with some and actually deal with brothers who teach it. Like black folks, they say they teach it, but they really don't. They really don't. And so when you start to study outside of that, that's a whole nother different meaning. You know, okay. So
black masons are just like black politicians.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's sad too. It's really sad. It's really sad that I've studied it. I've studied it, and I ain't lying. It's just as fucked up as the black church. Damn. You look at them, they just like the black church. Shit, they half of these organizations like that. You know, when you want to know more, they can't teach you unless you join it. And when they brothers do join it, they don't learn shit. They just regurgitating bullshit that's written there. They don't have no real understanding of that.
Yeah, and see, that's the problem, Dave. It's like a lot of this stuff that we have today is not, it ain't genuine like it used to be. Like even with masonry one time, it was a learning, a school of thought for learning. But now it's just a damn, like I said, old social club. It ain't really, you know, about learning. Because like I said, hell, I could meet somebody now, I could become a master mason, goddamn it, overnight, long as I pay. But it, we used to have to be, your ass had to actually learn, go through these lessons, you know what I'm saying, participate in the ritual so you can learn. Now you can just pay and just sit fly through it. You know, you 25 years old and you're a goddamn master mason. Nah, it wasn't none of that shit back in the day.
That's because if you paying your dues, you probably the only one.
Yeah. So now that's what I say. It ain't none of this stuff ain't genuine like it was. But you used to learn, you know, you learn from like the Bible in itself. And like I was talking about the perfect uncut stone. Now we learned a lot of that in ancient Egyptian order too. But that's why I said a lot of this stuff is talking about you. It's right. You even when you go into Adam and Eve story, that's you really learn the allegoric and symbolic meaning. A lot of this stuff you hear, it's talking about you. That's why I be saying about the Torah, you read certain things and understand it, it's talking about you. When you take these stories, it's talking about you and how to build yourself up. That's it. That's what it's about. All these lessons go. And that's what even masonry is supposed to be talking about. That's why they say they take a good man and make him better. So it's about building up your character and building up, you know, the better, making you a better person. But you got to go through and learn these rituals. You have to go through and these ceremonies. And that's what thing about religion. They talk about people, they talk about religion. Religion has rituals and shit. So you can, when you go through them, you can truly understand the story when you acting it out. Like, that's why they do certain things in masonry reenactments. Then you get the full. I mean, like I said, we did the when I was Dr. York, when I was on the land, we did the people talk about the opening of mouth ceremony. We actually did a ritual with the opening of mouth ceremony, the raising of Osiris, and seeing that ritual done, that shit, man, was cold, and it enlightened me. Like, God damn, going through, we said, the halls of the deities and greeting Osiris and Aset. And all, man, hey, when you do them rituals, that shit, bro, it's cold. It's cold. Yeah. It's some cold when you.
And you know what? I looked into that stuff, and
I started asking a lot of black brothers that was Masons about that. They couldn't tell me shit.
They ain't gonna tell you shit, Dave.
You had half of them. You see brothers with rings, coats, hats, and a lot of them can't explain shit to you.
Sometimes they not gonna tell you. You ain't being tried and proven true. It's like I used to be sometimes skeptical about a lot of shit about talking about sacred societies. But I remember when Dr. York said this, and I heard you finna say something about that too. Sometimes, bro, we have to keep it. Ain't like we keeping stuff secret. Some things have to be kept sacred. Because I remember how they say, you see what happened when we started teaching people all our shit, right? We brought in, like, Kemet. They allowed the Greeks to come in, taught them and all that, and see how you got overthrown. So some things, you know, it ain't just you keeping it secret. You keeping shit sacred. You can't teach everybody your shit. So sometimes, that's why they say you have to be tried and proven true. Are you worthy? Are you worthy for this information that I'm giving you? And see, some people, that's why I said, see how black people, we talk about culture vultures because we let everybody come in our shit and then they take it over and then kick your ass out. So some people, bro, they got to be tried and proven true. You just can't give everybody your shit. Some shit you got to just keep sacred for yourself. And that's what these schools of, and all people, hell, had schools, sacred schools. In Africa right now, in certain little tribes, bro, they have secret societies in some schools of thought in Africa right now. And in backwoods, y'all might have said backwoods in Africa, they have secret societies. But go ahead, Alpharell.
No, you basically said it. They keep it compartmentalized. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So you have to graduate to different levels. You can't just walk in and they just give you the keys to the city.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But, The only problem I had, man, is I started noticing back probably in the 90s that a whole lot of, I'll call them down low brothers, were in these organizations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I would hear it like, you get them drunk, they'll tell you everything, how they fuck with each other's wives and all that shit. And I'm like, well, hold up, you supposed to be an upstanding member of the community, you know what I mean? You supposed to be a man, you supposed to be a leader, and all y'all do is drink and fuck. I mean, you ain't building shit. The buildings you are in look like they've been condemned. So I don't quite understand what the hell y'all doing.
See, that's the difference when they talk about being operative and speculative. They not operative, they just speculative. See, that's what that shit come in and play. Now, even we go back to Prince Hall and a lot of them brothers from that time, a lot of them was in operation. They was operative. And just how certain things we are able to do a lot of shit that we did, because even though they went through that, you know, that route to go through it, but they were building shit, you know what I'm saying, and made a paved way. They utilized that Mason and all that shit to pave way for a lot of us to be able to do a lot of shit we doing. But nowadays, these dudes, like you said, it's just a social club. Like some motherfucker getting drunk, want to sleep with your wife. And see, that's other shit, too, like you were saying. I've heard the same thing from brothers. They think brothers thirsty for knowledge and want to move up these degrees. Let me, I got to sleep with your wife and all that shit. Man, hell no.
That's the way you say it. You say, hell no.
Yeah, but see, but you got to think about it too, bro. See, that was a lot of rituals with that shit. See, still you going to deal with rituals because, well, there's sex rituals.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand why it always got to go there.
I like, think sex.
It's sex rituals. It's anti-sex ritual, because you know that homosexual shit is anti-sex. You know, it's a bunch of bullshit. It's like, how desperately do you want this? Like, nah, cause I don't want none of it.
Yeah. You know, sex is sharing your energy and your essence and shit too at the same time. Everybody tell motherfucker, you just can't sleep with everybody. because right. you're sharing uh-huh. your essence with people and shit.
Sure is.
So hey, even with the homosexual shit, you sharing your essence with another motherfucking man.
And you know what?
We can move on from that from now.
Hey,
yeah.
Yep. You could share your essence. Goddamn.
That's it. That's what sex. That's why sex is used to be sacred. It's sacred in certain society. Remember the Kama Sutra. The Hindus is a real spiritual thing, and that's how sex was not only for procreation, but it's supposed to have been a spiritual thing. It sounds, and even with we talk about the perverts, the Roman Catholic Church, with them, I hate to use the goddamn word spiritual, but it's some. Oh, goddamn, sexual energy and spiritual shit with that, man. Fucking with them cheerleaders. There's a whole lot of shit goes with this shit. So sex, yeah, some people, with. That's why we look at it today. That's why they tell you all this sexual perversion. That's why they got that for certain reasons. But they using it for some negative.
Yeah.
That's why they got everybody so heck, what you call that, so sexualized and shit. But it's for a negative reason, energy.
And you know what? And you know what? What's so crazy about that? Cause I shouldn't even damn quote this brother. I know he went through some bullshit. Orlando Brown. I don't know if you know the guy, little boy that was on Family Matters and all that shit back in the day.
Not so Raven, yeah.
That's so Raven. Even though I know y'all say he crazy, and I know that brother went through some bullshit, but he said something similar about that, how he traded spirits. And I was just like, what the fuck? And he was talking about how he traded spirits with a lot of people like Diddy and shit. And I was like, and you know, I know he probably went through some shit, you know, but if the weird way of hearing that, at the time I was just like, this brother fucking weird. But now, you know, when I look deep into them words, I'm like, damn. The fuck, you know, like that's yeah, because he been talking about that, how he shared spirits with Diddy, and I'm like, what the fuck, like, you know, he said he shared spirits with Bow Wow, and I'm like, and I know Alpha Male, I know you said the entertainment industry fucking weird, and I agree with you, but if you actually listen to some of those interviews of him, he been goddamn dropping these jewels. Some of that shit's actually jewels. Like you were just saying, that they're sharing the spirit with the Roman Catholic Church and how they be, you know, going with the kids and shit, and how some of that shit's, you know, rituals. Orlando Brown has been saying the same shit by a lot of them producers. How he took on the spirit of some of the producers when they touched them and all that shit. So, yeah.
Remember Aleister Crowley talked about sex magic. Remember him? He always talked about sex magic. That's why a lot of people in the culture, and like you said, Hollywood, because remember now, you see a lot of people in Hollywood, they follow the Aleister Crowley, Jay-Z them with their Do As Thou Wilt. They ended all that shit. That's why they have, like you talk about Dave. What was that movie? Damn, you talked about, said that damn movie earlier, man.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah. That's it. That sex magic. Because remember the guy on the last, what, not the last show, last week. Remember he was talking about, one of these guys, I forgot which one of them was. They was talking about magic, white magic, black magic, so-and-so magic.
Oh.
I forgot.
Yeah, that was Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of that, Aleister Crowley always talk about sex magic. So it's a lot of, I got to take it back kind of towards Christianity. Now I got to go back to my old Wahhabian days a little bit in my head. I mean, Dr. York said, I remember him teaching about, that's why Christianity always talking about the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ. Now, remember the Torah talking about how we're not supposed to drink blood, eat nothing with blood in it, because it teaches us that there's life in the blood. And that's why they constantly always tell you in Christianity about the blood is life. And that's why they say you believe it in Jesus, die for your sin, because he give you eternal life. Now, going back to that, I remember day you used to tell this story. Uh-oh, y'all, we got to get Pete. We got to take it out of PG-13 mode for a minute, y'all. They, how you be talking about how the women will like to drink your semen. And now that their semen, they said there's blood in your semen. Again, there's life in the blood. So there's life in that semen, which is a.k.a. blood, goes back a lot of this shit to the rituals, your essence again. So even when you having sex, when you, you know, commenting somebody, whatever, you sharing your essence, that life again, that life force, that blood. Because even that semen, there's blood in that semen. So, yeah, he's right. It's a lot of them rituals. That's about, I'm telling you, man, a lot of the life is a goddamn it about a ritual. Getting up, goddamn it, going to work every day is a fucking ritual. Everything is ritualistic. Everything.
I was going to tell you, y'all know that Crowley got that shit from Pascal Beverly Randall, the sex magic shit.
I heard that name. I don't know who it is. Damn.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It was a lady? It was a lady?
No, it was a dude, a black dude.
Oh, damn.
Pascal Beverly Randall.
And, damn.
Yeah, that's where Crowley got that shit from.
Wow.
But as I was saying Wednesday, you know, they get a hold of something and pervert the fuck out of it.
Hey, you name that name one more time? I gotta check that shit out. What was that name?
Pascal Beverly Randolph.
Pascal. Man. Heard that name before.
Yeah, I have too.
Pascal. Is it Pasq?
Hold on. I'm going to send let me just send a link to Sunray there. He can text
me. He down like old. He like one of them old white dudes from back in the day, the Western days.
Oh, yeah.
He look like dude, what's that dude they played Candyland? That's who he looks like.
Oh, I see it. Pascal Beverly Randolph.
Oh, God damn. He was in the order of, go ahead, Dave.
Damn, I see it. He look like damn King James or somebody. What the fuck?
You showed in line. He sure did. Says sex magic.
Up on, it says 1825 to 1875 was an American medical doctor, occultist, trance medium, writer. He is the first person to introduce the principles of erotic alchemy to America. Damn, what the fuck?
You know why they, you know why Brother Alpha Mayor Alistair, him and Alistair Crowley, because they both was in the OTO, you know, what's it, Ordos Temporos, Ordos, some shit, that, what's that, that you don't know about, the OTO?
No.
That's the same organization, all them were back in, back in the day. What's her name, Madame Blavatsky, is Ordos Temporos, Ordos. Some shit like Orientus or something like that. The OTO.
Esoteric.
Yeah, it was an order called an OTO. Yeah, because you keep looking at his thing, you will see it. Let me see. I'll show it. Yeah, because he was in there. That's what Aleister Crowley was in. Monica Blasky, all of them was in a part of that. That is, like you said, almost like a, not like masonry, but it was something like that. It is a Gnostic kind of teachings.
Somebody sent me that, what you were talking about, the OTO. I've heard that before.
I just sent you his thing right there. I just sent you his thing. I was just looking at when it was talking about it.
The OTO.
OTO. Okay. Yeah, all them folks was in that bull crap back in the day. Manly P. Hall, I think he was a part of that shit back in the day.
What the hell? Is he Creole? Yeah. It said he lived in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if y'all remember, what was his name? Jack Parsons?
I've heard that name.
He was part of the Jet Propulsion Laboratories, like building rockets and shit. Well, he was tied into that shit with Crowley too. That's where that shit about the redhead woman came about.
Hmm.
Yeah, hey, so they say he killed himself. And then it says that another guy, killed him. And they say it was a guy who was the grandmaster of fraternities who he did that to become leader of the fraternity.
It's been freaky for a long time. But here's the fucked up thing. None of these freaks, like when you start going back in history, none of them are from the West, from here.
Nope.
They're always from the Caribbean or somewhere, England, somewhere, other than America, and they come over here and build these followings, and we dumb enough to say, well, he my skin poke, so he must be McKenzie. Watch them.
Yep, it's your own line.
And you know what? And not just that. But a lot of them people are damn Creole, too. A lot of them Haitian, French Creole, they into all that sex magic bullshit, too. And a lot of them went down to New Orleans, Louisiana. That's why you couldn't pay me to goddamn fuck with them no more. Hell no. Nah. They really into that. They had a lady named Madame LaWaria. And she was a French Creole lady that owned black slaves in Louisiana. And she had a big old mansion. And she did all kinds of sex magic rituals on her male slaves she owned. And, yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah.
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 You got some sadistic people out here, man.
Man.
Yeah.
And that mud don't even look like he. Well, you know what? He looked like one of them boules because he looked like he mostly white, but they say he's black. Well,
I'm gonna send you this other pic of the guy I found on the while looking this up. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm gonna send you another pic of this guy Moray. I'm seeing you a pic because he got a little ass curl in this picture. I'm about to show you.
Yeah, the one I'm looking at here.
Go click on that picture I just sent you.
The picture. I see he got an ass curl.
Got a little jerker.
Oh, got damn. That, like, what the fuck, dude? Nah, he looked black on this one. He kind of looked black on this one. Like.
Look like fur kind of look. They got a little part on the side and a little Duke relaxer.
That's funny, Dave. Because I was just about to mention Farrakhan.
Damn.
He got the same hairdo. Ain't fair time from the Caribbean.
Yeah, it's from the Caribbean. And you know what? And I don't know, you remember, I told you about the thing about the task force, about the mighty task force, and how they had a thing about Farrakhan nephew who had killed himself at South Carolina State back in the early 90s. I think it was like 92, April of 92. And his nephew, who was the son of his cousin, Salim Muhammad, Aaron Muhammad, had killed himself because he was in a allegedly a gay relationship. You remember that? I don't know. I remember I told y'all about that. And yeah, Farrakhan had a little group. It's supposed to have been training young men up to be men, but come to find out they was all in there fucking each other and running trains in the back of the mosque on each other. Yeah, it was a big scandal. And Farrakhan tried to act like he didn't know shit about it. Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if
I heard about that story, and I heard your boy Chuck D was part of that that joint too. I forget, they had a particular name they called him.
Prince Akeem. They had a brother named Prince Akeem who they pretty much put everything on that brother, but that ain't true. They pretty much dogged that brother and used him as a scapegoat for their bullshit. But Farrakhan and his Nation of Islam leaders was oh my Lord, and trust me, I talked to a brother that used to be into that, and he died about a couple years back. And man, that brother was fucked up in the head because of that shit. All them stories, man. Woo, that brother had a man. All I gotta say is, man, while Farrakhan was alive, people would come out about that nigga, cause that brother worse than damn Diddy. Than Diddy.
They ain't got to come out with it. We know who he is. You know what I mean? Because We so busy worrying about the messenger, sometimes we miss the message. That's why I won't watch videos of certain people. I just use the audio. I can't stand the look of it. But every once in a while, they talk long enough. They'll say some profound shit.
That dude was black. He was mixed. His daddy was white. His mama was black. And they said that and an occult thinker who believed that his multiracial identity afforded him mental powers.
And see, that's why I keep telling you about these light-skinned, red-boned ladies and men. Even when you're looking at Prince Hall, he was a mulatto. When you're looking at Prince Hall, he was mulatto. And that's how he was able to get in there and be able to learn this stuff. Same thing with the Divine Nine. Same thing with that. You know, I'll tell you, a lot of these people, man, they are able. A lot of these multiracial, biracial, half-breed motherfuckers, they're able to get up there because of how they look. And then they use them as the gatekeepers.
Yeah, because they come off as less threatening.
And you know what? And that's why I don't promote HBCUs. Because HBCUs, I would say I'd rather a damn nigga go to a white college than a black one. Because I'm going to tell you something. Hey, y'all still there?
Yes, sir. We still here. Let me see what time we got. Yeah, we got 10 minutes left live anyway.
I'd rather a nigga go to a damn white college than a black one. Because at least you know who runs shit. Black ones, I'm black like you, but be looking like Eric Benet.
Damn.
Yeah, man. Spike Lee, little weird ass school days came out. Them red bones that went to college was mad as a motherfucker. They was mad as hell, even though I know Spike Lee a little sweet ass too. You know, when he did school days, them Greek motherfuckers was mad. They was mad.
Damn.
They was mad. Them damn motherfuckers barking up and all of my love and shaking their booty with candy canes. You know, and hopping up and down, and that was mad as shit. They were mad as hell, because we know that's the truth. We know them little yellow motherfuckers, they better than dark skin there.
Yeah, I can't understand why anybody would go to college. Spend all that money, that's a big ass scam. You know.
Sure.
If you're gonna choose a career, you should be trained in that career. Not at no college. You should be trained with motherfuckers that are doing with that which you know wanna do. Like technical schools, you know. If I wanted to be a plumber, well, when I graduated I was a plumber. You know what I mean? I had to have prerequisites and all this bullshit. I know that's a scam.
You know? Well, you know how they told us, go to school, get you a good education so you can get you a good job. And that might have been the trick. Why?
Yeah,
I think.
Well, ain't no job now. Everything is going to
Yep.
So that shit don't work no more.
Damn.
Matter of fact, you know, I watch these documentaries about doctors and nurses and shit like that. And they would ask the nurse, you know, like, why don't you, you know, you become a doctor? Because basically, you know, you're doing all the work. And they were saying, I make more money than a doctor because I get to keep money in my pocket. They said doctors are paying off these giant-ass loans, and you're lucky to make the kind of money you thought you were going to make.
Damn.
You know? Yeah, so that's a racket, too. And you only have, you go through all that shit to just have a license to practice. You're not a doctor. You have a license to practice medicine. It ain't no different than a license to drive your car. And, you know, licenses are bondage, you know, because they can make a motherfucker tell his mama with the threat, you know, to take somebody's license and fuck with their livelihood. Motherfucker say, yeah, quit.
Damn. Yes,
so, yeah, we live in a raunchy world, but
man,
I ain't depressed about it, you know what I'm saying? Because I know what to do about it.
Yes, sir. And we damn sure ain't looking for no height. I say we damn sure ain't looking for no Messiah. Nobody come and save us.
Yeah. Well, you know,
Jesus ain't coming back.
Yeah, my philosophy has been, You know, everybody looks outside of themselves instead of in. Did I say that right? They look outside of themselves for what's already in them.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Well, they said the Spirit of God lives in you, dwell already in you. Yeah. And then one quick thing, what the crazy part about, that I be looking at when the Jews say they still waiting on the Messiah. And like the whole thing I was reading earlier, that they thought that this Messiah, they say, supposed to be to come to restore them back to the promised land. But like, okay, I was saying now, okay, if y'all saying y'all, that's Israel and y'all are in the promised land, hell, he ain't got no reason to come because y'all claim that's Israel. You're already in the fucking land. So what reason he got to come? Because that's what they said the whole thing was about. And that's why they be talking about Zionism. They like, and I read this somewhere in one of these books somewhere. They were like, the hell with that. We ain't wait no more on the Messiah. So that's why they came up with that bullshit. Like you were talking about the Balfour Confederation. They're like, we ain't waiting. We gonna go ahead and do this. So it would be like, okay, since y'all got the land, why you waiting on the Messiah? You already got the land. So I'm like, what the hell y'all still preaching about a Messiah coming for?
Well, they never say which Messiah, do they?
Nah. Well, I'm talking about the Orthodox. Now, I don't them crazy-ass Messianics. I don't. They still going to wait on Jesus regardless. Or my bad Messianic, Yahshua. But the Orthodox, they still, they don't believe in Jesus. They still talking about a Messiah coming.
They sure do.
Yeah, the Messiah they talk about is this dude that died a while ago. I can't say his name right off the bat, but even politicians from over here go over there to this dude's grave. You know,
you ain't talking about Chuck Tarvey. I know it was a dude named Choctaw V, but I think they said he was buried in New York, though. That might be the one. I've heard somebody say about him. Somebody's supposed to have been buried in New York. It might not have been him, but it was a dude you're talking about. I know Choctaw V, the dude now.
It might be the same dude.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've even talked about it. But, yeah, so, no, they're not talking about the Messiah like people would think of the Bible. They're talking about a person in their history that they deem their Messiah.
Some of them saying David coming back. They said King David come back.
Oh, yeah. You get that from Shema Israel, bro.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the Jews say that too, though, Dave. The Jews say that a lot of the European Jews, they say that because it's how they read, it's how it's written. Now, if you take that literally how it's written in the Torah, it does say it. It does say that. But they taking that shit is because how it's written. But like I said, I have some study Bibles and I like three or four different study Bibles. And in those, I said I'm supposed to do a video on. I got to go and do that logo video and show it. But they'll tell you that's not talking about David himself, but the Bible, how it read it. I mean, it's written at that time. But again, they got to know the time period. It was talking about, it was going to bring up, it was going to raise up the house of David again, or a Davidic king, or the Davidic dynasty, not actual David. But if somebody take it literal, they thought it was talking about David. Like some of them people do, they think it's actually talking about David. But like some study Bibles, it shows you it's talking about the rising to bring back the Davidic dynasty. Because like I said, one time during the history, there was, I think, who was the last king of Israel? I think I read that they looked it up. I think it was King Josiah, something like that, of the Davidic dynasty. I think it was King Josiah, if I'm not mistaken. And nobody else was after that. It was like, you know, you really didn't have a king from the Davidic dynasty. And in some parts of the study Bible said, when it said David is coming back, it was saying how the Southern Kingdom and the Northern Kingdom was going to come back again under the Judean, you know, under the Southern King. They was going to unite under the Davidic dynasty of David. And not just David, but they read it literally. Like I said, if you read it literal, we like, damn. Because I first read, I'm like, huh? David coming back? I'm like, what the hell? But then I started getting them study Bibles, different ones, and reading them notes. I got like four of them. And they all going to say the same thing. That's not literal. And then some of them will tell you scholars, biblical scholars, will say this stuff was added later. It was added in there later, that portion. It wasn't originally in the scriptures like that. Somebody added it in there. Yeah, so I was like, okay, that make goddamn sense. Cause I might as well believe in Jesus coming back. If I don't believe David coming back, I'm like, damn. Oh. Everybody still on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, I thought that mother hung up. I know the time. I know it stopped recording, but okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's it's a whole piece of work. Yeah, because a lot of people don't know. I want to show this. I got so many books and stuff I've been reading on it. I like reading the biblical scholars. They'll show you a lot of stuff. People don't even understand either. How they'll show you, even in the Bible, a lot of stuff was edited. It's been re-edited. And things about a lot of different people. Like they talk about Ezra's. Ezra's edited a lot of the stuff when, you know, from the Tanakh, from Moses' time. He edited it. So there's a lot of stuff, man. That's why even some Jews will tell you, you can't even take the Torah and the Tanakh literal. Some of them even tell you that straight out. Don't take it literal. But they pushed it down Messiah. And that's where we go back again. People study this history, you could get a lot of them, the whole, what they call parcelized Jews, people who converted to the way of life, Israelite tradition of Judaism. They one who really started pushing all this Messiah stuff coming back. It wasn't original, because really the original Israelite tradition, you don't find none of that. You don't find none of that talking about nobody coming back to save no damn body. That came from a lot of converts who pushed that stuff. Yeah, man, but all of this stuff be right there in damn books, but nobody read it. But like I did hear Brother Day, now one thing, Shema Israel, I kind of been listening to them a little bit, Day, and on certain things, they be kind of going in, breaking down. Now, one of the brothers, young brother, he did say, I think, I forgot his name, he, the elder that run the thing is his son. And he was like saying, see, a lot of people have to be educated enough to even read the Tanakh and all the scriptures. And that's why everybody just can't be jumping out there just grabbing it. But what he said, one thing that was, you know, that was true, but he said you have to study it and be educated enough to understand. But it was something else he really had touched on. Hell, I lost my train of thought on what I was going to say on. But he was going in on that class he was doing, man. He was breaking down some real stuff on there. And I forgot what I was going to say on it. But the class I've been listening to, them, they've been kind of going in, right? And they've been going on some historical stuff, and he was talking about. Now, they weren't talking about Moses coming back either. I mean, David either, Day.
But he was just going in. The Liberation Tabernacle.
Yeah, they've been going in. Yeah, I listen to the morning Shabbat. Where's their day?
I said, they've been stealing our stuff.
Yeah, I used to couldn't listen to them, but lately I've been kind of peeping them out. On their Shabbat class, I listen to, like the morning Shabbat.
They've been stealing our stuff. That man's buying y'all legs.
Zion ain't been stealing shit from us. That's something. Talking about he pushing Jesus big time, but for the money anyway.
I have a question for y'all. Now, do you think the Hebrews that became messianic did that during the Crusades, like when the Christians were coming across the water? Somebody, if you don't believe in Jesus, we got to cut your head off. Do you think they had anything to do with it? Because somebody mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that did happen. Like you said, a lot of the Moors that happened, they and a lot of Jews, they did they started converting to Christianity or started saying that they were Christians because being for being killed. Like they said the same thing about the Moors. When you read the Moors history, they started. That's how some of them started converting to Islam. And persecuting style, we Christians. And a lot of the day, you remember you teaching on that history one time, how a lot of the Moors was actually Jews, Moors Jews. Remember you talking about that day?
Yeah, I know about that Moors Zionist temple.
Yeah, I'm talking about even in Spain and over in Africa.
They Jews first.
Yep. Yeah, that's a lot of history with that. Like I said, a lot of them couldn't publicly announce that they were actually Jews because they say even, I was hearing some brother break down, and there's a lot of books. They said that because even the Romans that were still trying to, after the 780, they were still trying to track them folk down and kill them. So they had to pretend that they were Christians. And a lot of that happened. A lot of that always happened. You know, people had to hide. They couldn't say, hey, I'm a Jew. They had to denounce, hey, shit, I ain't no goddamn Jew. I'm a Christian. Stop getting killed. I mean, from being killed. But I think I was talking about earlier about the better, goddamn, what's that thing? I said it. Now I get ready to see it. I can't see it no more. The doctrine of discovery. That's it. The doctrine of discovery. When the Pope, the creed, anywhere you go, when you find these people not Christians, kill them.
That's what I meant to say, yeah. The doctrine of discovery, yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, that was it. But, yeah, I'm going to find that Alpha Male with it, about that part they were showing about the Jews had to. Because even Brother Dan, what's his name? Nathaniel, Bishop Nathaniel, Israel United in Christ. He was just showing that the other day, Dave, on a video. Now, I ain't going to lie. Sometime right now, I be peeping him out sometime. From time to time, I see he come on. He have a video. And he'll come on, and he'll actually show you a lot of ancient books and stuff. And he will show you these books that have a lot of this stuff in there. He'll show it on the screen, and he'll show you this stuff in these books. And he the one I learned a lot of that from. He showed in some of these books, and I started seeing other people showing it, that how they were saying how the Hebrews / and they might use Moors and Morenos. I'm going to find that one out for me, because it goes into what you're talking about. If you watch the beginning of it, it was about something he was saying. If I ain't deleted it, tell my damn history. And he was showing this in the books. He said Moriscos, and he was showing Moors, and he was showing how, you know, how they made them convert to Christianity or hide on, you know, under the title Christianity. I'm going to find that video and send it. It's just in the first part, like, shit, I think 15, 20 minutes he showed this stuff.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, he showed you the actual proof in books, ancient books.
All right. Well, I'm out of gas, brother.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm going to get ready to get up out of here. My dog gonna say, go get me a little Scooby snack. I know it's late. This ain't got to go to work. Yes, sir. I know, Dave, you got to get in the morning today.
Dave already sleeping.
Yeah, probably looking at the little red ball.
Yeah, I gotta go to work in the morning, man. Hell no, I gotta go to work in the morning, man.
He hear that? He be hearing that good, but you said red ball. He hear you on that out there real quick.
Hell no. Ooh, you ain't gonna see me with no red ball. I had a couple of them, and they go to hell. Number ass women. But I'll see y'all in the morning. Shalom.
Yes, sir. Shalom. All right,
shalom.
Peace. All right, peace.